much about.
It's Valentine's Day. It's not the day you run away from love. It's the day you track it down, tie it up, and take it home.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
I look around and I see all these beautiful people who are alone on Valentine's, and I think that there are other single people out there too. We just need to find them. There's a girl out there for all of us. There has to be a way to get all these lonely people together.
Net. Giant
not,
net.
Not a giant net.
What do you have in mind?
I was thinking maybe like a mixer.
Oh, God, that's a terrible
old fashioned meat market.
No.
I don't think it is.
Lonely people mixing with one another, breeding, creating an even lonelier generation. You're not allowing natural selection to do its work. And when the guy invented the seatbelt.
You are a murderer of love!
And now,
Cupids and Hearts. Really shoving our faces in it this year.
Our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. Welcome to another week of all new Kevin and Bean shows.
Hey, party people. It is Monday, and it is the 14th of February, Ola. So when you walked in was, hey, Lisa, how you doing?
Hey, Bean, how are you?
How you doing?
I'm fine.
When you walked in, did Mike tell you about the audio? Did he tell you about the thing? Did he tell you about the deal? Did he tell you about the greatest broadcasting fail in the history of the history of broadcasting?
Oh, I saw that, yeah, this morning.
Oh, you saw this morning.
Oh, yeah.
I was hoping you hadn't because I wanted you to be so happy. And I wanted you to now know that it doesn't matter whatever happens to you because you'll never be the worst broadcast fail in the history of broadcasting.
Yeah.
Wow, this must be bad.
It was pretty bad, but I think my body of work stands up. I would like to see my body of work get smaller, you know?
Well, we thought that perhaps Lisa was the all-time broadcasting fail with her moment with.
We wonder if they offer up the first name.
Okay. Now, the reason Lisa is not even in contention is because you can at least make out some of the words in what she's saying. I mean, listen again.
We wonder if they offer up the first name.
Right. You get funner.
She just put 3 P's in offer. That's all.
Right. You get funner. You can hear first name. You can tell, you know, you can tell what she's trying to say, even though it's bad. But the woman on the Channel 2 Los Angeles after the Grammys last night, unfortunately, we haven't been able to get the audio right from the TV yet. It's YouTube so far. We're still looking. Lisa, you can't make out one word
really?
That she's trying to say.
Yeah, you watch it and you go, is this a different language? Or?
Mike refuses to watch it because he's so nervous because he's heard so much about it. He says he'll feel too bad if he sees what this poor woman went through. But
oh,
they throw
please,
it.
Please play it. I've gone through this 1 million times. You'll live.
I said it's like comics. A lot of times can't watch other comics. You know, bomb.
Yeah.
I honestly, every listener in the world sent this to me within an instant of it happening.
I know.
And I just couldn't. I don't have the heart to watch it because I said, "What if someday
that's
not
have the heart to watch?"
Because
it?
We've all in the broadcasting been in that position, and so it's the worst feeling in the world. And you just know I feel so horrible for this girl.
Oh, please.
But now there's been so much talk about it, I have to hear it.
Yeah.
You have to hear it, yeah. All right, try to make out any word that she's trying to say. Her name is Serene Branson, and you'll hear the guys in the studio will throw it to her. She's standing out in front of Staples Center, and she's supposed to get into the taped package of last night's Grammys, all right?
Staples Center, with highlights and backstage coverage, we're seeing for the very first time, Serene.
All right, you guys ready for Serene? Lisa, you strapped in?
I am.
You ready?
Yes.
Well, a very, very heavy rotation tonight. We had a very Darrison bite. Let's go hit Terrace English for the bit. Behind the pit.
That happened.
What the
hell? Yeah.
Mackerel.
I mean, even...
That was not English.
Even in my worst moment, you can kind of sort of tell what I was going
what
for.
What happened to her?
I don't know.
Oh, and play can, that you, again.
Oh, I will. You can pull out of a tailspin if you start down a path that isn't going to work. Most of us can stop, restart, and do it in English. But she's all Klingon all the time.
Well, a very, very heavy rotation tonight. We had a very Darrison bite. Let's go hit Terrace Chase English for the bit. Behind the pit.
What?
Oh, my God.
I think she said pet.
What do you think the heavy rotation was supposed to be? Celebration, do you think she was going for?
I don't know.
I thought it was rotation for some reason.
But that wouldn't make any
sense,
though.
None of the words she says make any sense. This is great.
And the thing is, she stopped. Like, she stopped to reset herself and then,
right.
And then was just as bad or worse.
All right, let's stop it on the way and see if we can figure out what some of the words are.
Well, a very, very heavy rotation tonight.
A heavy rotation?
Heavy rotation?
But again,
very, very heavy.
And it sounded like she almost started to say duty, like heavy duty, heavy. And she stopped herself.
Oh, maybe it was heavy duty celebration. Maybe that's what she was. That makes sense to me.
Maybe, yeah.
All right.
We had a very Darrison fight. Let's go ahead, Terry's English for the heavy pick.
Oh, my God.
A very Darrison? Darrison?
Did it sound like had the pick at the end?
I heard.
I think the end was let's go to the clip or let's go to the tape. I think that's what she was going for. But what's the Darrison part?
We had a very Darrison fight. Let's go ahead, Terry's English for the head of the pit.
All right, I heard tasing. Was there tasing?
Is there someone named Tara Tasing or something?
No clip.
Whoa.
We need producer Alex. Serene Branson needs to be a friend of the Kevin and Bean show today. We need to talk to her.
Where does she fit more than on this program?
We're her friends.
We're her people. We're her people.
In my opinion, I'd love your guys' opinion. She has the ability to make this either great for her.
Yeah, of course.
Or like, if she handles this with a complete sense of humor.
Right.
And says, like, I don't know, my brain melted and is cool about this, or if she just hides from it, that's the worst thing she can do. She has to be open about it today.
You have to claim it.
Yeah.
Oh, she's just beautiful.
I mean, let's face it. We live in the YouTube sensation era, and there'll be 5 million people who will have seen this in the next couple of days around the world.
Let's get the Gregory brothers on it.
Although I don't know what they would do with it. All right, one more time, and then we'll tell you about today's Kevin and Bean show. So, no matter what goes on in your life or in your job today,
this is the first time when you say no matter what goes on in your job, you're speaking to me.
I'm speaking to everybody.
Whatever kind of
fail the listener have today, you're never going to have to explain this to your boss.
Well, a very, very heavy rotation tonight. We had a very Darrison fight. Let's go ahead, Terry's English for the head of the pit.
I love her so much.
That just is not English.
It gets better and better.
It really does. Wow, how do you not have one word that you can understand? Oh,
good
that poor
times.
Girl. I wonder if this is a continuing thing, like my problem, or if this is like the first time it's ever happened to her.
Yeah,
I don't know, because I can't imagine they'd ever put her back on TV if she did it, you know, several times. They would just say, you're not an on-air person.
Maybe you should do something behind the scenes.
Right, yeah.
That was great.
And I didn't know, that's the only piece I've seen, so I don't know if she came back after the clip and was fine, and you know, that was just an anomaly. But
are we sure she wasn't broadcasting to, I don't know, Sweden or...
it's possible. We should get some UN translators on it and see what they can make of it.
Right. Wow, that was great.
Yeah.
We do have to get her on the show to find out what in the hell any of those words were.
And you'll be the right person to talk to because you can totally empathize with her and you can tell her, hey, baby, I've been there, right?
Yeah,
we
except
can play
for I'm not
going to
say, hey, baby. but I've had 1 million of those. Except for you can always understand, although my words are completely jumbled and don't make sense, you can sort of understand what I'm going for. With her, you can't even identify words.
No.
No idea. No idea. Awesome. Lisa, you feel pretty good about yourself.
She wins.
Right now?
Yeah.
She wins.
Yeah. I'm good to go.
She just beat my entire body of work, I think.
She really did.
I got to step it up. All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean show, shall we?
I don't know. That goes against my grain a little bit.
I hear you. Grammy highlights from last night.
Okay.
Like that one wasn't easily the best.
That was the best thing that happened all night. That's true.
It was, yes. TMZ update with Harvey Levin. Always got to find out what's going on in the celebrity world. We have an author on the show today.
Ooh.
We thought today would be... Huh? Are you
Ooh.
Just booing any author or just this one?
Just her.
Okay. We thought this would be a good Valentine's Day message, and she's written a book called 101 Ways to Torture Your Husband.
Huh.
So you got that. We were having...
I bet the chick still doesn't shave her underarms.
That could be, by the way. We were having a conversation about this on Friday after the show, and I said, "Art, isn't that kind of in the DNA of every woman? Do they need a book?"
Oh,
right.
Seriously,
I mean, seriously, it's like putting out a book to tell a dog how to chew a bone. You know, I mean, it's built in; they know how to do it.
We're going to tell you what the least romantic city in the world is.
The least,
or in America, maybe. I don't know how big this survey went, but
I believe it's U.S.
Least romantic city in the U.S. happens to be in our backyard. Hard to believe. We are going to tell you about the world's... I don't know how to describe this. There's a speed dating event that's going on, and they're doing it on the world's longest sofa. This has everything.
So you can't, yet nothing.
You can't use chairs or anything like that. It is literally the world's longest sofa. And I didn't know that record existed. I mean, maybe a 12-foot sofa is the longest sofa. I don't know. But this one looks like it's really long.
Okay.
And I don't,
it's a pretty big sofa.
I'm not sure I understand exactly what's going on. We'll tell you about the singles party on Saturday night and how you can vote for somebody to go to Australia who made
Australia!
A video that night. And a guy by the name of Harry Balls we'll tell you about today as well. So,
yay.
So we got that coming up as well.
It's just so rad. I love it.
Yeah. He is rad. We'll take a break and come back with the Showbiz Beat next.
All right, here you go. High quality clip.
Well, a very, very heavy heavy divertation tonight. We had a very Darrison bite. Let's go ahead, Terrace Tazen, those for the bet, the head of the pit.
I love her so much.
That can't be real.
It just goes on and on.
It just can't be real.
No, that last part's just pig Latin.
It is.
I love her so much. What is the least romantic city in America? Interesting to find out here
Cleveland.
On Valentine's Day on the Kevin and Bean Show. We'll tell you after the top of the hour. Right now, Ralph is here with our first look at the Showbiz Beat for a new week. How are you, Ralph?
St. Petersburg.
Russia?
No, Florida.
Oh.
Russia. Florida?
Florida?
What a weekend it was. Let's take a look. Before we get to the box office results, let's take a look at some passes I've got to give away. Very special event, the red carpet world premiere of Hall Pass. Very funny comedy starring Owen Wilson and Jason Sudeikis about two husbands who were so desperate to have sex with other women, they get a hall pass from their wives out of their marriage for a week to get off and bone whoever they want. Happy Valentine's Day, everybody. This happens on Wednesday, February the 23rd. It's in theaters everywhere Friday, February the 25th, in case you're not one of the lucky winners. But let's take the first five callers right now at 1-800-520-1067. If you're one of the first five callers to get through, you'll get a pair of passes to the very special red carpet premiere of Hall Pass. Well, it's going to be at the Arclight in Hollywood, California, which is a great place to see a movie, one of my favorite theaters. Besides Owen and Jason Sudeikis, Stephen Merchant. Of course, you know him from his work with Ricky Gervais and J.B. Smoove and Jenna Fischer. They all star in the film, so you can check it out. Looks very funny to me. Jason Sudeikis is one of the few highlights of Saturday Night Live anymore. I always find
he's great.
Very funny on that show. Speaking of movies, it is Monday. That means we take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. Just Go With It. Kevin's people were out in force this weekend as they went to see the Adam Sandler, Jennifer Aniston movie.
Dumb people.
Kevin, what'd you think?
It was terrible.
Did you go?
Not only were Kevin's people out in force, Kevin was out in force, yeah.
You
Ralph.
Really did?
Imagine my surprise when I was sitting there watching TV and my wife said, hey, let's go to a movie. And I said, all right. She said, it's my turn to pick. And I said, okay, I'd like to see the Adam Sandler movie.
I was like, oh, no. And then you said, well, honey, I know you get your pick, but this is ridiculous. You have to pick something else.
But
you stood up, you grew a pair of nads, and you made a statement.
But you have to understand, Ralph, I'm at a great disadvantage about picking movies because I have terrible taste. So
right. So the last thing she should want to do, or you should let her do, is go to an even worse movie than you would ordinarily pick.
Right, but mine are bad enough, and she'll go with me because it's my turn to pick, and then she hates it, and whatever.
Then she has an obligation to pick the good ones.
Well, she didn't, and it was... Picture what you think that movie was, and then double it.
Oh.
It was bad.
And this is coming from Kevin, who has a high tolerance for bad films.
Yes. Bad.
And even you thought it was bad.
Well, the highlight of the movie was Dave Matthews picking up a coconut with his butt cheeks. That happened.
What's going on?
That happened.
Sure he didn't wander into Jackass 4?
No, I'm positive.
The Dave Matthews?
Yes, the Dave Matthews was in it. And then they were in Hawaii.
Picked up a coconut
with his butt cheeks.
Okay.
That was pretty strong. But don't go based on how weird and funny that sounds, because the rest of it is... horrible.
What about Brooklyn Decker?
Wow. Hot.
She in a bikini at any time during the movie?
That was the one thing I thought when my wife said that movie. I was like, oh, it's going to be a bad movie.
I get to see that.
But I can look at Brooklyn Decker, you know, the entire time.
Well, a lot of people went. $31 million made it the number one movie at the box office this weekend. Second was Justin Bieber, Never Say Never.
That's a shocker. I thought Bieber would win just because of the kids.
It was neck and neck. Neck and neck all weekend long. Apparently, Bieber made a little over $30 million,
wow.
So it was just a hair's breadth between the two of them.
I will tell you, a lot of those kinds of kid concert movies, like the Jonas Brothers, they flop. I mean, it's a real risk, but this one only cost $12 million. They made $30 opening weekend. They got to be pretty happy with that.
Bean, what'd you think?
It was very good.
I win.
Kevin wins.
Actually, you don't win, because honestly, the Justin Bieber movie was probably better than Just Go With It that you saw.
Yeah, but you know what it wasn't? Very good.
Right.
That's what it was.
It actually was. Well, I mean...
Was Justin Bieber singing throughout the whole movie?
Well, it was a documentary. There was some singing and also some interviews.
Was
and
Justin Bieber in the whole movie throughout the entire film?
The movie was very good.
Was he talking and or singing?
Look, I knew coming in today that it didn't matter whether it was good or not. You didn't want to hear that. You got your mind made up. But look at other critics, and you'll see that it's a pretty well-reviewed movie. It's not just me. A lot of people are saying it's a good movie. No matter what you think of Justin Bieber, it's a well-made film.
Fail. Epic fail.
Bieber film, of course, Never Say Never. But watch me. I will never go see that movie. There, I just said it.
Ralph, never say never. Come on.
I just said never.
You went against his advice.
Romeo and Juliet made $25.5 million at the box office this weekend. No, the top three movies at the box office made almost $100 million.
Yeah, big weekend.
That's crazy.
Is that because of Valentine's Day? People, spending all 3 days as part of kind of the holiday, you think,
going out?
Maybe.
The Eagle was fourth with $8.6 million, so you see a big drop-off there at number four. The Roommate was fifth. The King's Speech, No Strings Attached, Sanctum 3D, True Grit, and The Green Hornet rounding out the top ten at the box office this weekend. The Grammys, of course, were held this weekend, Sunday night, and I did not watch them because my fear was that Lady Antebellum would win a lot of awards. And apparently my fears were well-founded. It was a big night for Lady Antebellum.
They have a terrible name.
I don't know
but I'm interested in her music. They are a pretty good band.
Wow, Bieber's great. Lady Antebellum is great. Just leave now. You can go now, sir. Thank you so much for your time.
You are dismissed.
You are dismissed. Dishonorably discharged, if you will. They won the record of the year, Need You Now. Song of the year was also Need You Now by Lady Antebellum. Album of the year, however, here's a little upside, was The Suburbs by Arcade Fire. How about that?
How about that?
That was a shocker.
Best new artist, Esperanza Spalding.
That also was a shocker.
That was also a shocker.
So those are your big winners. I know we'll take a look at the Grammy Awards in detail in just a little bit, so stick around. Congratulations to Kelsey Grammer's oldest daughter, Spencer. She got married over the weekend. Well, with a dad like Kelsey Grammer, you knew she was bound to get married young because she's been so inspired by his track record.
She has seen it work over and over again.
She knows what it takes to make it work. Apparently, Kelsey was there with his fiancée, Katie, and apparently everyone was very happy. For now. In the hospitals, Elizabeth Taylor, legendary Oscar-winning actress, 78 years old. She's at Cedars-Sinai's Medical Center for what they're calling symptoms caused by congestive heart failure, which does not sound good. Doctors say her heart condition has been ongoing and that she's being monitored as we speak, but she's pretty sick, so we'll have to wait and see what happens there. Congratulations to Cynthia Nixon of Sex and the City fame. She and her fiancé, Christine Marinoni, welcomed a bouncing baby boy into their family a week ago. Baby's name is Max Ellington Nixon Marinoni.
All right.
Cynthia already has a 14-year-old daughter named Samantha and an 8-year-old son named Charles from a previous relationship with a dude, her husband Danny Mose. So
his last name is Mose. Got it.
So she apparently likes variety in her life. God bless her. And happy Valentine's Day. It is Valentine's Day, everyone. I hope you take care of your special someone. And if you're alone, what a loser. No, I'm kidding. I'm sure you'll find someone soon. But the New York Daily News has compiled a list of the 100 most romantic love songs of all time. And as you know, these lists are in concrete. They're in stone. This means something. This lasts forever, this list.
Yeah.
This is the actual real deal. But I thought Kevin would be happy, especially to know that the top 10 love songs of all time are all waybacks, Kevin. All throwbacks.
Sure.
Can't Stop Loving You, Ray Charles, was 10th. Michelle by the Beatles was 9th. Are You Lonesome Tonight by Elvis Presley, Kevin, was 8th. First Time I Ever Saw Your Face. First Time Ever I Saw Your Face, Roberta Flack. 7th, In My Life by the Beatles, You Are So Beautiful, Joe Cocker. I Just Called to Say I Love You, Stevie Wonder. Wonderful Tonight, Eric Clapton. I'll Be There by the Jackson 5.
Let me guess.
Second. Number one most romantic song of all time.
Like a G6.
Like a G6.
Is that it?
Nope. It was Lady Antebellum with, no, I'm just kidding, My Girl, The Temptations, legendary Motown group, The Temptations.
Yay!
My Girl.
By the way.
My Girl.
How can I Just Call to Say I Love You be on any list of any quality?
Yeah, that's a terrible song.
That's horrible, one of the worst songs ever written.
It really is. And that's not coming from a place of hating Stevie Wonder.
Not at all. He's a true artist.
He's a true artist.
That was an odd song out. It was just horrible.
Song does blow.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Florence Henderson, Mrs. Brady of the legendary Brady Bunch, is 77 years old today. Pat O'Brien, formerly of The Insider, formerly of a rehab treatment center.
Sure.
And now currently doing sports radio here in the city of Los Angeles. He is 63 years old. Teller of Penn and Teller is 63 as well. Jules Asner. She was one of the hosts on E! For a long, long time. Then she married Steven Soderbergh. She's 43 years old. Simon Pegg, very funny Brit actor and comedian, is 41. And Rob Thomas of Matchbox 20 celebrates his birthday today. Man, I'll just scratch that one off the list. I don't know if we need to do that one again in the next hour. We'll just give him a shout out now. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
Well, a very, very heavy heavy divertation tonight. We had a very Darrison. But let's go to Terrace English for the bit. They had the pit.
That's a good point. I want to make sure we got that information out there because a lot of people turn on the radio, especially first thing on a Monday. They want to know that stuff. So we took care of you. All right. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show on not just any Monday, but the most romantic day of the year. Ladies and gentlemen, it's Valentine's Day, or as most of the people we know say, Valentine's Day.
Sure.
And this is kind of weird. I don't know how you rank something like this, but Amazon.com has put out a list of the least romantic cities in the nation. And I guess what they do is they look at what you buy. They see the cities that are buying romance novels and romantic comedies on DVD and sexy music and, you know, lube and whatever it is that they have on their list in the category. And then they decide based on that.
So and the least sexy city in America. They did a
would be the one that's not buying, you know, bondage gear at Amazon.com. That's pretty much how they figure it out.
Okay.
All right. This one says that the number one, and this is the only one in California that ranks in the top 20, is El Monte.
Wow. El Monte,
California.
El Monte is the least romantic city in the United States, according to the Amazon.com list. I've never seen a list from them before, but all right.
Well, we wanted to find out more about this because I'm sure the people in El Monte, California, which is a Los Angeles suburb in Southern California, I'm sure that they would disagree with that. So we asked producer Alex if she could get us somebody on to speak from the city. I'm not sure we have, but we go to El Monte live now on the Kevin and Bean Show to see what's up. Hello.
What's up?
What's going on?
Who's this?
Hey, Rudy.
Hey, what's up, Doc? Kevin and Bean.
No kidding.
Why you live in El Monte?
Nah, but like, my hyena, the Sagro, lives there. You know what I'm saying? So I'm already down here, like, preparing, because you know what I'm saying? It's the day of romance.
Uh-huh.
It's
right.
Valentine's. You know, no touch, like, right? You know, we're just banging it out over here, just, like, hanging, you know, getting our perv on, getting ready for a big night of romance.
Right, so you're getting all set listening to the Gap Band first thing in the morning,
That's
huh?
That's right, dog. You know what I'm saying? Like, got to get my head right.
Okay, well, listen, while you take that bong hit, we were talking about how El Monte is the least romantic city in America.
Right.
Got quite a party going on there.
Oh, man, like my garage, or Sagro's garage is bumping, dog. Like Victor's over here, little maniac, bum, donut, like all their hyenas, you know, misty eyes, and it's little flipper, and cricket. You know what I'm saying? The girls got their hairs on crispy. We're looking good, dog.
I know you are. But what do you think about this Amazon survey that we're talking about El Monte being the least romantic city? Does that make sense to you?
Oh, no, it makes no sense, man, because, like, I mean, I know, at least for me and my homeboys, like, we go over the top with romance, you know? So, like, they must be hating on El Monte or whatever, because, like, I mean, like, when I cruise out here from Boyle Heights, like, it's just straight romance, dog, you know what I'm saying? Like, Romeo and Juliet or whatever, you know what I'm saying? Like, I mean...
What do you have planned for today?
I know, like, later today, I'm going to get Sagro, like, a new tattoo, dog. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
Like, to commemorate romance and love.
And what's the tattoo going to be?
It's me, but, like, I'm Cupid. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
It's for love, but, like, instead of a bow and arrow, I got my trusty AK. You know what I'm saying, dog? And I'm throwing up, like, an LA sign. What's up, dog?
That's not romantic, though. Once you bring firearms into it, it's no longer sexy
but,
time.
Like, I got to keep it real, fool. You know? Like, keep it real. Like later, maybe buy her, like, some lingerie. Go down to, like, the Walmarts or whatever, you know? Get her some lingerie, you know?
Right.
Or maybe this something, is something nice, like denim or Dickies, you know, like some Dickies stuff or whatever.
Right.
You
know? Dickies lingerie.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, same like her swimsuits. I gotta get, you know, same you know, material. You know what I'm saying? Sure.
I'm surprised to hear you say you're going to Walmart. I didn't think you bought anything indoors. I thought you were a swap meet only guy.
Oh, no, but for like the special occasions, you know what I'm saying? It's like, you know, for the most part, you know, I don't, like, take her out to dinner or nothing, but maybe, like, we'll go to Jack in the Box. You know what I'm saying? I'll be like, hey, Haina, not just the tacos. You could go ahead and get the combo, bitch. You know what I'm saying? Get that combo.
Special
that
is
but
romantic.
Like, hey, look, if you, hey, this is a little secret. Okay. Listen, you know what I'm saying? Because, like, we're homeboys, right, Kevin and Beam?
Sure,
like,
of course,
lately, because...
Yeah.
That girl's been putting on some pounds, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I've been sprinkling some meth in her horchata, you know what I'm saying, for the last month. And, like, now she's looking good for Valentine's Day. So, like, later on when I bang her, you know what I'm saying? Like, get a little knock the boots action. Like, she'll be looking all tight, you know?
Yeah.
She scratched the skin off her arms, but she's looking good.
Man.
I think, from what I know about Sad Girl, you may have to do the drugs in order for her to look good, Rudy.
No, man. I mean, like, well, look, that's a given. You know what I'm saying? I get my head right. I mean, maybe I'll, like, cook her dinner or something. Maybe, like, some pop brownies and a 40 or something.
Oh,
you know,
that's like, good. Wait, that's, you know, like fun.
That's cooking her dinner?
Oh, it's dope, man. Yeah, I know what, I'll make her something that we could both appreciate, sit back, and okay. Listen to some tunes. Oh, mm-hmm. That's right. I'm grooving over here, Doc.
Wow.
And, but to be honest, like, the ace up my sleeve or the card in my hole or whatever you say.
It's
Doc,
ace,
you know,
up the sleeve.
Yeah, whatever. You know what I'm saying?
Nothing in the hole at all.
I'm a little blunted, Doc. I'm sorry.
All right.
Like, I got her this real special gift. You know what I'm saying? Those little candies. You know those little candies, Doc?
They're
like hearts. They're little hearts, mm-hmm. And they have messages. You know what I'm saying,
right.
Lisa May?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I got her some crazy new eyebrow pencils, Lisa. You know what I'm saying?
Like,
and they're
that.
Red for Valentine's. You know, they're red on her donkey.
Very thoughtful.
And matching little lipstick liner to go around her lips.
Wow.
Look how pretty. Mm-hmm. And then, like, I got her these candies. You know what I'm saying? And I custom made them to put my own message on it. You know what I'm saying? So she can open it up and she'll look at all these candies and say, go Raiders!
Now, is she going to like that?
I don't know. Whatever.
There were some real shocks at the 53rd Annual Grammy Awards last night, shown on CBS across this great land of ours. First of all, how did Lady Antebellum win so many? Record and Song of the Year. As much as I like that song, I was really, really surprised to see both of those wins. Because some of those songs, like the Eminem and Rihanna song, and some of those, you know, were so great and so hugely popular. I was really, really surprised by that. One of the biggest shocks of the night was one of the happiest moments for me of the night, and it was Barbara Streisand at the very end of the program introducing the Album of the Year. Now, listen as I play this tape, because I'm telling you exactly what happened here. She wasn't shocked because Arcade Fire won. She has no idea who Arcade Fire is.
Oh, I saw that. I loved it.
She believes... This is what she's confused with as you hear this clip. She believes the name of the band is The Suburbs, and she wants to make sure she's not screwing it up. And that, of course, is the name of the Arcade Fire album. Listen up.
And the Grammy goes to The Suburbs. Arcade Fire!
I mean, am I right? Is that what's happening?
That's what I thought, too. I was like, it's odd, too, because if she knows she's presenting, you'd think she should just... There's only five names. You'd think she should just go over them. But she had no idea what it was.
Yep, she was reading Chinese on that page. It could have said anything. It could have said lettuce head, and she would have read it. But yeah, there's no question she'd never heard of Arcade Fire. And by the way, how phenomenal were they? How great were they last night?
They were
great.
They were really good.
And please help me figure this out. So they came out and they did Month of May, which was great. And they had a crazy light show and they had BMXers riding all over the stage.
Yeah, Matt
Hoffman
was on stage with his helmet cam. It was weird.
I know. It was hilarious. And then they win the Album of the Year. And you'll hear here as they give their acceptance speech, then they say, hey, let's go play another song. Now, what was going to happen if they didn't win? If Eminem had won Album of the Year, as I expected, what were they going to do with the last 5 minutes of the show? Because the stage was all set up for Arcade Fire. That was the last performance.
Well, that was my question, too, because I've never seen this before. And they always usually have, like, a big closer. And maybe the big closer fell through or something. But I was thinking the only thing that makes sense is if they asked ahead of time for the Album of the Year artist to perform after they win. I mean, because it wouldn't make sense for Eminem or somebody else to win and then have Arcade Fire play again.
Yeah, the whole thing was so confusing to me. It almost makes it seem like Arcade Fire must have been tipped off in advance that they were going to win, because they wouldn't randomly just decide without checking with television producers,
no,
hey, we're going to go back and get behind our instruments and start playing. But listen, here's how that unfolded at the end of the Grammys last night.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I just want to say thank you, merci, to Montreal, Quebec, for taking us and giving us a home place to be in a band.
Merci, Montréal. Merci, tout le monde au Québec.
Thank you. We're going to go play another song because we like music. So thank you, the Grammys. Thank you, everyone. We're so happy.
And then they got on and just did another phenomenal, phenomenal performance of Ready to Start. I mean, I could not have been happier to see Arcade Fire win. I was terrified as earlier in the night, Lady Antebellum kept winning all these Grammys.
Yeah.
I was terrified that they were going to win Album of the Year. terrible.
That was a shock. I was really, that was one of the it few surprises that I was like, wow, they got enough votes to win that.
So now the backlash has to begin, because now how can you be a hipster indie band from Canada if now you're winning the freaking Album of the Year Grammy? I mean, clearly that's as mainstream as you can get. But
they sold out? Is that what you're saying?
That's what some people will say. Sure. I say keep doing what you're doing because you're awesome. The other moment of the night that I thought was one of my all-time favorites of any Grammys I've ever seen is P. Diddy, who curiously, by the way, was introduced on stage as Puff Daddy last night, which was a little bit of a weird throwback.
He goes back and forth, doesn't he? Or is...
I think he does.
I guess he must.
Okay.
And the announcer for the Grammys, I'm sorry to say it wasn't Kevin last night. They had freaking Ellen Kay on there, who with that plastic surgery just looks freakier and freakier. She's starting to look like that Catwoman from New York with how stretched her face is. Oh, my God, she looked weird last night. So she brings Puff Daddy out. And tell me if I'm wrong here. Was Puff Daddy the most stoned you have ever seen anyone try to do an award on television?
Yeah.
He's one of the most consistent artists in music. And he's one of the most talented rappers in the game, performing their smash hit and also a Grammy winner tonight, performing live What's My Name, Rihanna and Drake. Yeah,
he's just hanging on to every word, trying to get to the next phrase in the sentence.
It really is. And by the way, when you're out of your mind, that's the way you handle it, is you try to slow everything down.
Yeah.
Don't rush it.
Be real precise.
And it was bizarre. I just kept thinking, what is he on, A? And B, did he finally just now get a grill?
Yes, oh my God. He had a mouthful of metal on his bottom teeth.
Just
yes,
now? Why so fast?
Yeah. He's like 10 years late on that
what
trend.
What the hell?
And with all the other people that were coming up on stage wearing sunglasses, like Tools, like Lenny Kravitz and Donnie Wahlberg, Diddy is the guy who needed to be wearing sunglasses because he was so baked and those lights must have hurt his eyes so much. Outside of Arcade Fire, the biggest shocker of the night, no doubt, was not No,
no Doubt.
No
Doubt was there?
It was the best new artist. Now, I didn't know who was going to win this. I didn't think it was going to be Bieber because I didn't think a lot of grown-up Grammy voters would vote for a 15-year-old. I didn't expect it to be Bieber. But I really thought there was a good chance it could be Mumford & Sons. I thought there was a good chance it could be Drake. I was hoping for Florence and the Machine. That's who I was hoping would win the thing. You could have knocked me over with a feather when this was the announcement.
And the Grammy for Best New Artist goes to Esperanza Spalding.
So all over the world, everyone had the same thought, which is,
who's that?
Who? Oh, man. She's had two or three albums under her own name, by the way, and has had eight albums altogether and won Best New Artist.
What kind of music? Oh, wow. That is odd.
She's kind of an R&B. No, she's more jazz, kind of a jazz. They love
Don't they have jazz categories?
They do, but you can be eligible for this category no matter what kind of music you make. The funniest thing, though, was the Bieber fans went immediately to Esperanza Spalding's Wikipedia page and just trashed it last night to the point where Wikipedia had to stop people from being able to make changes. Justin Bieber deserved it. Go die in a hole. Who the heck are you? All right,
well, who the heck is she? That's a great question. I second that.
Talking about the Grammys last night, a couple of really, really funny things that happened. I thought Seth Rogen was hilarious. I don't know why they had him come out and present. I guess he brought Eminem on stage for his performance. But here's a little bit of Seth from the show last night.
Hello. This is my first time at the Grammys. I'm having a spectacular time so far. I've seen things I've never seen before. I've heard things I've never heard before, and that wasn't even watching the show. That was just backstage getting high with Miley Cyrus.
Who, by the way, was there, so No Doubt heard that, and No Doubt wasn't there.
No Doubt heard that?
And then they had, because it was on CBS, they worked a little David Letterman into the show. He had a top 10 surprises of the 2011 Grammys. Here's just a couple of those.
Lindsay Lohan seen leaving Staples Center with Grammy-shaped bulge in jacket. Number 8, Willie Nelson provided the Grammy show snacks.
Yeah. Snacks.
Number 6, the new category, best male or female traditional, R&B urban alternative, non-classical Latin pop performance by a duo or group with vocals. Number 5, in a touching ceremony, Will.i.am added a comma. Number 2, John Mayer caught in passionate embrace with Susan Boyle. And the number 1 surprise at the 2011 Grammy Awards, Justin Bieber, hairpiece.
There you go. Very funny from Dave. And one more while we got time for the funny. And then we'll talk to the guy who, behind the dating event tonight with the world's largest sofa coming up here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Neil Patrick Harris. Again, I guess he's on because he's on a CBS show and the show was on CBS. Very funny. Introducing the Katy Perry performance.
Our next performer is a bona fide pop superstar who begins a worldwide tour next week. This past Monday, I had the pleasure of having sex with her. On TV, no less. And I must say, it left me exhausted, aroused, and more than a little confused.
It is funny that Neil Patrick Harris always figures out a way to make a gay joke, and it's always hilarious. Like, how does he do it? I don't know. Very funny. But she was a guest on his show, How I Met Your Mother, earlier in the week. All right, we don't have time now, but next hour, we need to spend some time on the Bob Dylan performance.
Oh, my God. You mean the homeless guy?
Who somehow wandered past security and got on stage and sang?
Isn't it funny? You see everybody else, they're just plastic surgeried all to hell so that they can remain young.
Yes.
He looks like he's 150.
Yes, he does.
Would it kill him to run a comb through his hair once in the last 50 years?
He was
scary.
He was unbelievable. He was unbelievable.
He was unbelievable.
And you know me. I love Bob and have defended Bob many times on this show. But it did not sound like he was trying to sound good. I will tell you that.
That's Bob.
That is Bob.
Come on now.
So we got that for you coming up next there. More Grammy coverage here. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. We'll be back with the guy with the world's largest sofa right after this.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ and it's 637.
Hey, party people, thanks for tuning in to the Kevin and Bean Show on a Valentine's Day. Coming up in about 20 minutes or so, we got a recap of our singles party on Saturday night. I know some of us got lucky. Also, for Valentine's Day, if you weren't there, you did not hook up. Ralph Garman discovered an event that is going on today for people who are listening to us in Southern California. And Ralph, it's been a long time since I've seen you as excited as you are about this particular singles event. What's going on?
Because it's got everything.
It really does.
Even if you don't find someone, you will have experienced one of the greatest moments in Southern California history.
Explain it to us, Ralph.
You will get a chance, if you participate in this event today in Santa Monica, California, down there at the beach, if you participate, you'll be in hurrydate.com.
So that's like speed dating.
Speed dating. Okay. You get 5 minutes with somebody, ding, the bell rings, you switch over. But it doesn't matter who you're talking to or how you're meeting them, because you will be doing it on the world's longest sofa.
That's true.
What more do you need? I feel like getting divorced from my wife just so I can go participate in the hurry date. On the world's longest sofa. How often do you get to sit on the world's longest sofa?
Well, I didn't know there was a category. For all I knew, it could have been 12 feet. You know, I didn't know there was.
There's no sofas longer than 12 feet.
Whatever they were.
How small-minded are you?
Very.
When I think of the world's longest sofa, my mind is boggles. I can barely wrap my mind around the concept. And then to see that it actually exists, and it's going to be on not only used in the hurry dating, but on display today down in Santa Monica. I couldn't be more excited.
And then it'll go right to the Smithsonian after they're done with the event, right? Because after all, it's the world's longest sofa.
Or we'll go to the Sofsonian.
Nice.
Where they put all the famous sofas.
All right. Hurrydate.com is the singles part of it, but we're more interested in the furniture part of it. And from Beau Concept, joining us on the Kevin and Bean Show is their spokesperson, Curtis Miklisch. Hey, Curtis, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. Happy Valentine's Day, man.
Hey, thanks a lot. Happy Valentine's Day to you guys, too.
This sure is a long sofa.
Yeah, no doubt. It's 213 feet.
213 feet?
That's
a lot of couch.
Now, how did this come together? Because speed dating's been around for a while.
Time to change partners. Sorry. Time to talk to someone else.
Give us someone else.
Yeah.
Just let us know if you want to talk to us again. Okay, so
you have our information. We hope to hear from you.
It's speed dating. It's Valentine's Day. How do you work in the world's longest sofa?
Well, I guess, so what's going to happen is there's going to be approximately 150 people, 75 men, 75 women, and the women get to sit stationary, you know, each woman, each man, and then every 3 minutes, the men have to change and move up one seat on the sofa, and that'll kind of continue for, I don't know, I guess about an hour, so you get a chance to do at least, 20 plus dates.
All right, but you're describing the speed dating part, which is fine.
Uh-huh.
But it's the world's longest couch.
Yeah.
And
Sofa.
And you could have done it on chairs or anything else.
Tables, so, right.
Why the world's longest sofa?
That's just the sofa we have. We have a
Just had that one hanging around the shop. The world's longest sofa?
It's the only one?
We had the record and from Denmark, so we thought we'd bring it out here to share with everybody on the
We beat Denmark's night. Record with Sofas?
No, we are Denmark. We're a Denmark company.
We got to step up. Come on, America.
So the USA, there's a lag in the sofa wars between us and Denmark.
I watched that on TLC. It's a great series.
Sofa Wars.
The Sofa Wars.
Yeah.
So, did you your company Beau Concept, you made this couch in an attempt to set the world record for the longest sofa?
We did, yeah.
And how long was the sofa that you beat to get the record?
You know what? I don't know. I know it was under 200 feet.
So lame. 200 feet.
Yeah.
So you went 213. Now, let me just see if I've got this straight. So you flew that all the way here from Denmark?
We've had it on the East Coast, and it was kind of sitting for a year not getting used, so we thought it'd be a great idea just to use it for a Valentine's Day because it's red leather, so
sure.
I thought it would be a good match for it.
And who says a love seat is just for two? That's what I like the slogan of this event is for, because it's the world's longest sofa. So actually, a love seat could be for 150 people.
Right.
And if you're speed dating with a girl and you know you're going to go to the next one, because you're on a sofa, you can look over the shoulder of the ugly one you're talking to and see the hot one that's coming up next.
That's right. That's right. Yeah.
This is the greatest idea ever.
You can see 500 girls in that line because they're all sitting on the world's longest sofa.
Curtis, why are you only doing it for an hour and allowing people to just talk to 20 or 25 people rather than all of them? Why don't you just keep it going?
The day is actually two parts. So we're going to have the speed date is the first part, and the second part is everybody gets to go over
sex
and to the ice skating rink at the promenade, and they get to kind of hang out there. And
whoa! Hang on a second. We're leaving the world's longest sofa?
Well, I guess the idea is, you know, you have your dates, you kind of maybe make your matches, and then you get a chance to actually have your
go
real
skating.
Date with people over at ice skating rink.
Will they be wearing the world's largest ice skates? That would be awesome if you could do that.
That would have everything.
You could go from the sofa to the skates.
That's a sequel.
Okay. Sequel. All right, next year.
All right, I have one final question about the couch, and that is this a one-piece sofa, or is it just lots of little pieces that you put together, you mash up against each other to make it appear as if it's the world's largest sofa?
It's many pieces. It's you know, we're a functional company, so it just kind of expresses the idea of our company that
Wait,
you can kind of modify things.
So it's not one sofa? It's just a bunch put together?
It's one sofa, but you know, obviously you can't carry 250.
Oh, I see.
If it was an American sofa, we could.
That's right. That's how they do it in Europe, huh?
That's
okay for you guys.
The Danes are that lazy, but I would build one continuous sofa,
not
a bunch of
wood.
That's right.
USA! I agree.
I'm saying that's not the world's longest sofa.
That's a bunch of Ottomans stuffed up against each other. I challenge you, sir.
I think we need to take this on and make the world's largest sofa. And screw this guy. That's
what
I say.
We're going to beat you by 1 foot, and it's going to be one sofa, dude. What do you think of that?
Hey, they're attached.
Oh, they're attached. So you do attach them.
Exactly.
All right.
Logistically, you can't do one long.
Yeah, well, greatness isn't easy, all right, Curtis? Greatness isn't easy.
It does weigh over 2 tons, so I guess it would be hard to move if it was one sofa.
That is fairly impressive.
Yeah. Couple right. guys trying to pick up the ends.
I got it. I don't got it. Put it down. You need a better grip.
Do you call, like, you know, one of the hungry students or some of those guys who come out to move the furniture? Do you have them load it up and take it to the promenade for you?
Yeah, we have 10 hungry students sitting outside the store right now, ready to load it.
All
right.
All right. 3rd Street Promenade, Santa Monica Boulevard, and Arizona Avenue. It's just between there. The event is happening tonight starting at 6 o'clock. It costs $35 to register, by the way. It says here the
worth it. Just to sit on the sofa. The world's longest sofa.
The event is actually free.
Oh, the event's free.
Well, then then this is bad information. I apologize. Go to hurrydate.com/longest sofa for more information. All right. Curtis, thank you so much for coming on. Good luck with the event, man. Have fun.
Hey, thanks, guys. Have a good one.
Watch for your record to fall. We're on it.
We're going to take you down.
You're going down, my friend. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and it's 6:53.
Hey, how's it going?
I can see your house. Ridiculous. We have chairs in the studio here that haven't worked in 3 or 4 years.
And, these are our new chairs.
Ralph is literally sitting on the floor.
Yeah.
And I can barely see his head.
I don't know why I'm bothering using a chair. I can just sit Indian style on the
That's
floor.
That's true. You'd be higher.
Who bought that goddamn chair? It's not my chair. Not my problem. That's right. What I say.
You look exactly, Ralph, like Vern Troyer when he came into the studio.
Hey, how you guys doing?
All right, we have a great hour ahead here on the Kevin and Bean Show. First of all, we'll get into the Bob Dylan performance from last night's Grammys. We haven't had a chance to talk about it.
Did you say performance?
The greatest. Yes, the Bob Dylan performance.
Wow.
It was
no Gwyneth Paltrow, don't get me wrong, but no,
she was really good.
Oh, stop.
She was really good on the CeeLo song. What was wrong with that?
She should die.
You just hate for the sake of hating sometimes.
Listen, you can hate her, fine, but do not say that she was worse than Bob Dylan, who was the worst ever.
Did you think she was good?
Sure, yes. She was fine. I didn't care.
She was good. What about her bocce ball boobs?
Well, those weren't great, but yeah.
She didn't look all that good. But what about
you want to talk about looks? Bob Dylan scared everyone.
Oh, Dylan is forever.
He's
now
crazy.
And forever.
He's, like Cats. He's old.
It's like the Cats musical.
I'm pretty sure I gave him some cash on an off ramp of the freeway yesterday.
Also, next hour, we'll be playing the most epic broadcasting fail in the history of television, which makes Kevin feel so good knowing that this person is out there trying to talk on a microphone. We got that for you. And if you were at the Kevin and Bean singles party, we'd like to invite you to call us right now, because just after the top of the hour, we're going to be recapping that event. We got a photo gallery up at kevinandbean.com if you want to see what you missed. But if you were there, we want to hear how you did. 1-800-520-1067. We'll talk about that on the way on the Kevin and Bean Show. Now, here's Ralph. I can almost make out the top of his head from here.
How you guys doing?
Practically on the floor with the showbiz beat.
You guys talking about the singles party they told me started at 8? Is that the singles party you were talking about?
Yeah, doors open at 8.
Yeah.
We heard 9 is when everybody was getting
there. Were you
there
at 8?
Doors open for us at 8, not for everyone else.
They wouldn't let listeners until 9 o'clock. After they had told us 8.
Yeah.
So I was there from 8 to 9.
Here's the thing about
talking to the bartending staff and Lisa May.
Yeah.
And then I had to go.
Here's the thing about Ralph. He had to leave at 9. So he said, all right, well, I'll get there early and hang out with
everybody. I'll do the early shift.
Right.
Yeah.
Which we often do.
Turns out, no need for me to be there, really. Didn't need to go.
Well, you got to hang out with Lisa.
Yeah, I did.
And the bartenders.
And then,
it's awesome.
I was pushing my way out of the club as people were trying to file in to go to the party.
Love it.
So, yeah, it's good time.
You missed a hell of a party. There was a girl making love to a balloon at one point.
Well, that's all you need for a successful party, I guess.
Mm.
Last night was the Grammys, but the weekend also held another big-time award ceremony, the BAFTAs. Is the BAFTAs are the British Academy Film Awards, and they are pretty much what the Oscars are to us here, and sometimes is a precursor for what's going to happen on Oscar night. Congratulations to The King's Speech. Swept the awards, picking up 6 BAFTAs, including Best Film and the Best Actor Awards, Best Supporting Statues for Helena Bonham Carter and Jeffrey Rush. And the only big award not nabbed by King's Speech that night was Natalie Portman, who won for her role in The Black Swan. So
hey, how about a bell there?
Oh, yeah.
Come on.
I have a pretty good idea. I was reading something?
I was reading something.
I multitasked during the show.
Are we interrupting your reading schedule by doing a radio program?
If you don't hear the name Natalie Portman and hit the bell, you're not doing your job. Stop reading.
Sorry. All right. I blame myself.
No, I was reading things. I was making a peanut butter jelly sandwich and putting chocolate in my sour milk.
I'm very busy.
Kevin, you'll be happy to know tonight on television, CNBC, covering the first night of the Westminster Kennel Dog Show.
Oh, that is so...
That's tonight?
Oh, yeah.
So
unbelievable.
Look at that Yorkie.
They added a bunch of new breeds this year, I'm told.
Shut up. He's not bringing it up because he wants to discuss the new rule changes.
What a waste of bandwidth it is.
What are they doing on CNBC? Isn't that a business channel or something?
I think they're just running out of places that will have them. I think they've just worked their way through every basic cable channel, and now CNBC is just going to squeeze them in between the Farm Report.
That's awesome.
Let's take a look at corn futures, and now let's go back to the dog. Yeah, F that show. Although tonight on television, I am excited about the big square-off on Jeopardy.
I don't know what that is.
Well, Kevin, you'll be happy to know that Ken Jennings, you remember Ken Jennings, he was the longest reigning champion ever on Jeopardy.
He's the guy that just ruled forever, right?
Freaking genius.
Ken, right.
He is going to be on Jeopardy again tonight. Brad Rutter, who is the guy who won the most amount of money ever on Jeopardy. He won over $3.5 million on the show. Didn't last as long as Ken, but actually won more money than Ken did in the long run.
It's on.
Those two are there, and they are going to be competing against Watson.
Watson?
Which is a computer from IBM. So they will have to battle a computer for Jeopardy supremacy.
Jeopardy's out? Is that what you're telling me?
Apparently Jeopardy's out, yeah. Watson runs on 90 combined servers, but isn't connected to the internet, so it can't look stuff up. It's just got to go with what stuff it knows. And they will be competing against the computer on Jeopardy tonight for 3 nights, by the way. First of 3 nights tonight on Jeopardy.
I'm in.
Why are you in?
Why would you be in? That's not rad.
Man versus machine.
Yeah. We always thought our
only
way.
It's a computer. It's going to kick their asses.
No, no, man. Because we've got human thought.
All
and
right.
We've got grit and will.
All right.
Okay.
I won't spoil who wins it, but I will tell you that there are some things that people are better at knowing about than computers.
No, that doesn't spoil anything.
No, not at all.
I'm just saying it's a fairly competitive matchup. That's
thank you, Mr. Know-It-All.
Beans should go against the computer. That's what they should do. Computer versus
I would
computer.
Suck on Jeopardy.
The category is Ralph Showbiz Stories.
Bean would
win.
Yes.
He would destroy.
Asshole.
Hey, come on.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Florence Henderson is 77 years old today.
Oh, she was great on the Grammys. You see her out there singing the Aretha Franklin medley
Florence
and everything.
Henderson. It was Florence
and
the
she
Machine.
Lost the Florence, best new artist.
No, no, it's different.
Pat O'Brien is 63 years old today. Penn and Teller of that group, he is 63 as well. Jules Asner celebrates her 43rd birthday. Simon Pegg is 41 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
By the way, congratulations to the Black Keys, who also were Grammy winners on Saturday. We didn't get to see them on the TV, but they won before the telecast. You know, there's 100-and-something Grammys, and I think how many did they give out, it seemed like, on the TV show?
Four.
Like 10? I mean, there weren't very many, that's for
but
sure.
But you know what? I think it was the best Grammys in a long time because of that.
Yeah, because they didn't slow it down with people talking. It was just music, music, music.
A lot of music. Some of it I wasn't a fan of, but at least they changed things up. When they did the In Memoriam, right. They put three and four people at a time.
Yeah.
When the boring president came out, they played music underneath him. I mean, they tried.
Yeah, that was still the worst part of the whole
show. Of course.
Show, the stupid president of the Academy.
Of course.
Anyway, highlights, if you want to call it that, from Bob Dylan's performance in a few minutes. First, though, let's talk about the Kevin and Bean singles party. It was Saturday night. I know it sounds like I say this every time we have a singles party, but man, what awesome listeners we have.
Yeah.
And it's been a long time since I've seen a group of people who are so happy to be anywhere as our listeners were on Saturday night. I mean, from minute one, there was such a fantastic vibe in the place. We were at On the Rocks, which is an awesome room above the Roxy on Sunset Boulevard. Lisa, I'm not wrong in picking that up. Everybody seemed like they were just having a blast Saturday, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, they showed up ready to go.
Yeah.
Some of them had been partying beforehand, and they were really ready to go.
Yeah, and some of them were partying too early, let's be honest.
Yeah.
When you pass out an hour into a party, come on.
What was the deal? And Monica, hang on, we are going to go to you in a second. And if you were at the party and you want to call in 1-800-520-1067, what was the deal with the girl who was so passed out and was hanging out, like making love to a balloon on the couch, and as Mike so delicately put it earlier today, was insisting on showing us her vagina whether we wanted to see it or not?
I don't know, dude. She was way, way blasted.
And, yeah, and early.
And she was wearing a dress that really came down almost to her belly button.
Yes.
And at one point, she was passed out and hugging the balloons on a couch. I was like, well, someone found love.
Prior to that, she had been stretched out on the couch, kind of in that feed me grapes position.
Yes.
And was feeding herself chocolate and licking her. She was having the best time all by herself.
Oh, man.
And I tell you who got a lot of love, by the way, is our little friend.
DJ Omar Khan.
I had more than one woman come up to me and say, hey, what's the deal with Omar? Is he single? And me being a good friend to Omar, who I know is happily married and has been with his girlfriend for 15 years, I said, absolutely. Very single. Seriously, he's going to play hard to get. He's going to try to blow you off, but stick with it. Keep going.
Considering his wife was there, that was a good move.
There was definitely a lot of love for Omar. Let's find out. Let's talk to Monica real quick. She's on line one. I think Monica and I did it. I don't remember exactly. But
I am guessing that's not the case.
I think we did. I think we pretty much had monkey sex. Monica, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. How are you?
Hi. I absolutely loved the party. It was totally awesome. But pretty much the highlight of my night and the probably the most action I got was sitting next to Bean for about 10 minutes and him ever so gently just grazing my leg with his.
Oh, wait, with his hand or his leg?
Oh, it was his leg. I saw his hand kind of close, but
yeah, he was trying, but he's just nothing works anymore.
Lucky.
We were sitting together on the couch, and it was a little bit crowded, and I was concerned that I was squishing her because I could see that I was kind of touching her leg, and I leaned over and I said, I'm not trying to get fresh or anything here. I hope you don't mind that my leg is kind
Ooh,
of touching yours.
Bean brings back get fresh. Good.
But so we didn't do it, Monica. I'm remembering that incorrectly.
If
doing it means touching legs, yes, you did it.
Now, how come did you talk to some guys? Anyone interesting to you, or did it? What was your story?
I talked to a couple guys. It was fun.
You were just spoiled by how great Bean is, so you didn't. Everyone else paled.
Nobody compared.
Right
there, you go. That's the answer I was looking for. All right, thank you very much. Don't ever call me again. And whoever asked the question in my headphones, no, it wasn't my third leg. That's not what I'm talking about. All right, let's talk to Jill, line 2, 1-800-520-1067, talking about the Kevin Bean Singles Party, and then we'll tell you what we need you to do on KevinBean.com next. Hey, Jill, welcome to the show.
Hi, guys. It's so awesome to meet you all on Saturday night. You know how to throw a party.
Thank you. We had fun.
For sure.
And we're super nice, and you were surprised how good-looking we were, right?
Take it easy.
I was. I actually owe Psycho Mike $5 unless he went home with those two girls that actually hit on me later in the night.
Well, apparently you owe him $5. If I might say so.
Wait, those girls hit on you? If it didn't work out with Psycho Mike, they were coming for you, Jill?
They did. It was actually awesome. I've never been hit on by a girl before.
All right.
Wow.
I don't know if they were hitting on me, but they came up and they were like, Jill, you're so beautiful. And I'm like, oh, my gosh, thank you.
They
so
were
much.
Hitting on you. All right.
Yeah, yeah. That sounds like a good deal. No, it was, I mean, it was a really fun party, right?
It was. It was super duper fun. Met some really cool people.
And let me tell you who else is awesome, by the way, is Christine, Miss Double December 2011, who was there.
So nice.
She's so nice. And Danielle, Miss Double December 2010, was also there at the party last night. So we had it was Boots
and Kimball. Jesus was there.
Jesus showed up late in the party.
There was a dude that, I don't know who he is or where he was from, but he literally looked like Jesus and wears the robe, the whole thing.
That dude's
a picture with him. He walks up and down Sunset. Yeah. Super cool.
Oh, I see. He's always walking around Hollywood. He's awesome.
And he was working the pole. I was like, this is weird. There's a pole in the room and Jesus is working it. That's something that you never expect to see, but he did it better than anyone. So
when I left, you guys are going to love this. A guy who had kind of tried to talk to me when I first got to the party, tall, skinny, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
He ends up throwing up on my shoes.
All right.
I left the party.
Was that his opening move, was throwing up on your shoes?
No, that was his closing move.
Oh, man.
That's fantastic.
My God.
All right, Jill, it was great to meet you. Go Sun Devils. Thanks a lot for calling, all right?
Thank you so much, guys.
Thank you. Bye now. By the way, speaking of that, when I left, it was about, I don't know, 1:20 or something like that, and they were helping a guy down the stairs. You guys know the back stairs? How many stairs there? Like 30?
Yeah.
Maybe?
Yeah, it's quite a walk.
He had rubber legs, and he was so out of it that the security guard was trying desperately to help him down, and it went from I'm annoyed this is taking way too long to oh my god, look at his legs are literally like spaghetti. He could not stand up, and it was just like a comedy act. By the end, I was just sitting on the step just laughing because it took about a minute and a half to get down those stairs. Oh, he was out of it.
One of the things that we had going on at the party that was super cool is everybody who was there was eligible to enter a contest to win New Year's Eve in Sydney, Australia. And the question I keep asking myself, Kevin, maybe you know this, is why is Sydney so Sydney? What's up with that?
That's a good question. I wish we had someone to answer that.
So you can go to KevinBean.com and just in the search box, just type in the word Sydney, and then you can see the videos of the people who were at the party, and you vote for which girl and which guy should win the ultimate Sydney New Year's Eve experience, which is an unbelievable trip. You go down there to celebrate New Year's. We're talking about round trip airfare from Los Angeles to Sydney on Qantas. We're talking about 6 nights luxury accommodation at the Shangri-La Hotel. I don't know why I'm telling you all this. You can't win it, but you can vote for who you think should go, and everyone who does vote is eligible to win a $100 Amex gift card, too, so there is something in it for you. And you can also see how wasted some of the people were at our party. So go to KevinBean.com. In the search box, type in Sydney, and the poll will come up, and I guess the voting goes on all week long.
The poll will come up.
Just ask Jesus. All right, Bob Dylan at the Grammys. What the F? We'll explain, and you'll hear the audio coming up right after this of the Kevin and Bean Show. Thanks for listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on a Monday, Valentine's Day, and the day after the Grammys. Congratulations again to Arcade Fire for a shocking upset win of Album of the Year. Man, I know you generally hate award shows, and a lot of times you're not a fan of the Grammys.
Right.
But, boy, there were a lot of great performances last
night.
Yeah,
I think it was better than usual.
We're talking about that.
I'm sorry. They gave away, it seems like, way fewer, and they had a lot of performances, and some of the performances were really good. I loved Eminem and Dre. I loved Muse. I mean, there were some good performances.
That CeeLo performance was great. Now, I know the one that you really weren't looking forward to was what they were billing as a tribute to acoustic music. And first they had Mumford & Sons come out, and they played. And I know you hate them because they have a banjo, but what did you think of their performance?
I thought they were pretty good. See, here's the problem. My rule is, If there's a banjo in it, I'm out. That's it. That's a hard, fast rule. But they were pretty good. And I didn't know how good they were. until the other band played, and then I didn't know how good they were until Bob Dylan came out.
That's the point. So the Mumford and Sons come out, and they perform, and then the Yvette Brothers come out, and they perform, and they're fantastic, by the way. And then Bob Dylan comes out, and all the members of the other bands line up behind him, and they're all singing and playing background on Maggie's Farm. At least I think that's the classic song that Bob was trying to sing, but here's a little bit of what that sounded like, and then we'll talk to him. Help that they didn't have his mic on for the first line.
It did help that they didn't have his mic on.
But then it kicks in. Now, Lisa, are you hearing this for the first time or did you watch last night?
This is the first time.
Unbelievable.
Wow.
This is a guy who is a professional musician singing on a televised program.
Dean, when I said, why don't we just bring out Muhammad Ali and have him box, you thought that I was being ridiculous. In retrospect, it was about the same thing.
In retrospect, I love Bob Dylan. I've even seen him in concert a couple of times in the last 5 years, and he has been good.
Fine.
But last night, he needed to be put down. All I could think was Puppy Lake. I don't know what to Bob joins us now on the Kevin and Bean Show. Maybe he can explain what was going on. Maybe he just had an off night. Mr. Dylan, welcome back to the Kevin and Bean Show, sir.
Yeah, Kevin and Bean.
Yes. Last night's performance? Is that what you said, Bob?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
How do you think it went?
I've never been better. Maggie's Farm
was the song you were singing, and I thought I knew what that song sounded like, but apparently I'm thinking of a different song, because what you were doing last night didn't sound anything like Maggie's Farm.
It was great. And I was alone. Everyone's in Lady Antebellum.
Well, now you were up there with Mumford and Sons and the Yvette Brothers. Were you familiar with either of those bands, Bob?
Yeah, they have Mumford and Sons. They have banjo.
They have a banjo.
And the Yvette Brothers run the song at NBC.
Huh? Okay, I don't know what that means. Did you rehearse at all, or were you just, did you not know you were on TV? What happened?
I don't know. You turned I was good. And everybody loved it.
You weren't good.
Yeah.
Whatever the opposite of good is, you were.
That'd be bad.
Yeah.
But I was not bad.
Well, no one, you...
Yep.
Why did you use your Batman voice? Why did that happen?
Yeah, rock and roll, woo!
Well, why don't you just sing?
Esperanza Spalding?
That's my point, too.
I know, we were confused, too.
I agree.
Right. Bob, and the other thing, and I totally get why this frustrates Kevin, for instance, is you got a standing ovation after your performance last night. And shouldn't that be reserved
Kevin?
But, I mean, that's a standing ovation based on what you've contributed to music in the past. No, you know that wasn't because you were entertaining or sounded good last night.
No, it was last night. Yeah, you get in the seat. You and say, oh, Bob, he's good. And listen, oh, dude. Lady Antebellum?
Yeah, I hear you. I'm with you on that.
Really?
But you were terrible last night. Not only were you terrible, but I think you were the scariest looking person I've ever seen.
You see, Gaga had an egg?
Yes. Yes. Not as scary.
Okay.
Not as scary as you.
Lady Antebellum?
Yeah,
really?
No,
right. You did look like the homeless guy with the golden voice, Ted Williams, when you walked out on stage with your crazy hair everywhere and, like, shuffling along and looking at the floor.
I am a national treasure.
First you are a national treasure.
And you came look and look at the image of brown eye.
Oh. I'm not sure what led up to those two words, but I'm scared to ask for a clarification. All right. Well, I guess good work then, Bob.
Yeah.
I mean, you really nailed it. Right.
Lady Antebellum.
This week on the show, by the way, Phil Kogan will be here, host of The Amazing Race. Dave is finally happy. Dave is finally speaking to him now that they're in HD. Antoine Dodson is going to be on the show later this week. You never believe what he's got going on. Mark Hoppus from Blink-182 is going to be joining us. And tomorrow, Clipper Darrell is going to be here, too. All right. In the last 12 hours or so, there have been two unbelievable things that have happened on my television set. And one of them... Mike said earlier he thinks everyone who's ever listened to the Kevin and Bean show in the history of the program being on the air emailed it to us when it happened. Because after the Grammys last night, I guess a lot of people kept it on the news on Channel 2, KCBS in Los Angeles, and they throw it out to a reporter who's standing in front of Staples Center to do a recap. Her job is to get into the tape piece that kind of recaps who all the big winners were on the show. Now, Kevin, most people listening have not heard this clip yet. How do you describe what we're about to hear?
Well, you've heard all of our moments with... And when we're trying to say something, and I have 5-to-1 as many as anybody else, 10-to-1 as many as anybody else, you just melt down. The word you're looking for doesn't come, and you put them out of order and whatever. I describe it as like I have a prism in my head, and all the words go through, and it just comes out however it wants. That happened with her, except for none of the words were English.
This is what's shocking, because when we've dissected Kevin's tape, we can go, well, at least we see what he was trying to say, or he got the words out of order, or he transposed some letters, but at least we can sort of see where you were coming from. I don't know what's happening to this poor woman, Serene Branson, who, by the way, by all accounts, very respected reporter, been working for a long time, been nominated for Emmys before, but they throw it to her last night, and here's what happens.
CBS 2's Serene Branson is live at the Staples Center with highlights and backstage coverage we're seeing for the very first time. Serene.
Well, a very, very heavy debutation tonight. We had a very Darrison, but let's go ahead, Tarrison, let's go to the head of the pit.
That happened.
That happened on TV.
That's not edited. You can go to kevinandbean.com if you want to see it. I put up the link, and wow. I didn't, except for very, very, I didn't recognize any of those words.
And we were trying to figure it out. We were trying to guess. I mean, a little bit of again.
Well, a very, very heavy blurtation tonight.
Okay, like, what is she trying to say? What's the heavy blurtation or blurtation or whatever it is? What can that be?
Heavy... I don't know. Blurtation. Flirtation? What could she possibly have meant?
Maybe it was she was trying to say a heavy duty celebration, maybe? I mean, that's the only way I can get. And then she goes on.
We had a very Darrison, but let's go to Tarrison, let's go to the head of the pit.
I hope she did not have a stroke, because that would be very unfortunate, and I would feel bad that we're going to hell for mocking that.
Wow.
But if she didn't have a stroke, it is the greatest meltdown in the history of broadcasting. Right?
If she did have a stroke, it's not funny.
Right.
It's not her fault.
If she didn't, it's the funniest thing ever.
How good must that King's Speech guy be feeling now that he's seen this chick, by the way? So anyway, go to kevinandbean.com and watch the video. It's very sad, yet very, very funny what happened to poor Serene. And then the other thing, and I couldn't even believe when I saw this, and this is a local news piece for Channel 4 in L.A. And, of course, they want to do a tie-in like everybody does to Valentine's Day. That's what the news does. Sure. When it's raining, they send reporters out in the rain to find out how they're coping with the weather. Hey, how does it feel to get wet? I mean, they ask the stupidest questions when they're trying to...
dry?
So it's Valentine's Day, so naturally they've got to have a reporter out on the street interviewing people who are buying flowers, because that's big news today. Let's see what's going on here.
First in the news this morning, well, it was a Valentine's weekend for couples, but if you've already celebrated, then today, the 14th, you should know that the vendors know there's a lot of pressure to acknowledge the official holiday. It's already busy at the Flower Mart in downtown L.A. Today in L.A.'s John Caddy's Climac is there, and he's checking out the goods. Good morning, John.
Now, why do we need, before we hear the hard-hitting interview, why do we need to go to a guy who's talking to people buying and selling flowers?
He's checking out the goods, Bean.
How is that? How does that help me, the consumer?
It doesn't at all.
It's a big waste of time, right?
Unless it's Serena Branson, and then everything's great.
Hey, good morning to you. You know, Brandon, Juan Fagan here this morning, who bright and early, not even bright yet, looking for some flowers. What are you looking for specifically?
Some roses for my wife and daughter.
Aw, for the wife and the daughter.
Aww. I mean, come on.
What, is he mocking him?
Look, the Grammys were last night. There's stuff going on in Egypt. There are other things you could lead the newscast with.
You.
This is the first thing. Why are you here buying flowers on Valentine's Day, sir? Good question.
Solid red?
Yes. Yes.
Well, it's important to know which flowers he's getting.
That is a great follow-up question.
And you come here to the Flower Mart. We're at 8th and Wall. A lot of different choices to come through. I mean, what's going to make you, I guess, the arrangement? How's it going to pop out at you?
Another me! This is awesome! This is my world now!
Let's hear that again, and let's also think about what the question is. He's already found out that the guy is buying flowers for his girlfriend or wife on Valentine's
Day. And they're red.
and they're going to be red. Now he wants to know what kind of arrangement this random guy that we don't care about is looking for at the Flower Mart. But listen to how he asks it.
What's going to make you, I guess, what the arrangement? How's it going to pop out at you?
Not sure. Just looking for something that will catch my eye, really.
This poor sap, by the way, who's being interviewed, what do you want me to say?
Right.
Right?
How am I supposed to tell you what arrangement is going to pop out at me? That's a ridiculous question.
This is on TV.
You decided to come down here. Why?
You decided to come down here. Why?
Another good question.
It's a Flower Mart.
So that's another good follow-up.
Hey, wait. Hold on a sec. You want to buy flowers for Valentine's Day? Why did you decide to come down here where they sell flowers, sir? I don't understand. How is that a question? How did he even think of that? Hey, you're at the Dodgers game. Why'd you come to Dodger Stadium to see it? Why was that your choice?
You decided to come down here. Why?
What do you think his answer is going to be? What can he possibly say to why did you come down here?
He wanted flowers?
He wanted flowers.
Come down every year. Anytime I need flowers, this is where I come.
Well, that's really good information. So you go to the Flower Mart to buy flowers, do you?
I hope he followed that up with what color again. What color do you usually get?
They have pretty good deals, don't they?
Yes.
Oh, they have pretty good deals, don't they? Are these guys waiting for a bus and they're just trying to kill time at this point? Isn't this the kind of conversation you have with strangers in an elevator just because you don't want it to be awkward silence
for
2 minutes?
And you hate every second of it because you
hate
know it's
every second of it.
Yes.
Exactly. How are they putting this on television?
Look, they got pretty good deals, don't they?
Yes. Yes. Best deals around.
Yeah. All right, Juan. Thank you very much, and good luck to you. You're going to be making somebody very happy.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Okay. Now I'm hoping he's done, because seriously, how do you peak? How do you top Juan? Once you've already talked to Juan, you're out on the topic.
Well,
it's
too good. Yeah.
You can see what Joel is showing you now, all the different arrangements that you can find here at the Flower Mart. Obviously, there are plenty of choices down here. This is a very, very busy day. And here at the Flower Mart, we can tell you that we saw...
Now, I have to ask, did somebody in his headset say, everyone back at the studio just passed out. You're the only person who can be on camera, so keep talking as long as you have. Just stall. Just keep going. Don't throw it back to us. However long it takes, talk about the goddamn Flower Mart.
A lot of people already trying to make their way through here to find what they can find, including LA's finest, LAPD and Sheriff's Department officers.
Okay, now he's literally having the camera show other people who are shopping at the Flower Mart, and he's pointing out their occupation. Hey, we're at the Flower Mart. Look, there's a guy over there who's a Sheriff's Department guy. He's buying flowers, too, because it's Valentine's Day.
But what color are they getting?
They've all been down here trying to pick up that last-minute flower. But obviously, flowers are the best thing to get at the last minute, right? You want the freshest ones that you can find, and this could be the place to find them. We're out this morning at the Flower Mart. John Kelly's Kleemack, Today in LA.
Well, a very, very heavy divertation tonight. We had a very Darrison bite. Let's go to Darrison for the bit. They had the pit.
We are finally at the right point in broadcasting where they can appreciate talents like ours, Kevin.
I am just about to become king. What 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and it is 7:53.
Harvey Levin from TMZ.com. Next hour on the Kevin and Bean Show, and just after the top of the hour, a woman who has written a book called 100 Ways to Torture Your Husband. Ralph, what are you going to do to her when we get her on the phone?
It's 101 ways.
101 ways.
101 ways. Sorry.
It's the dumbest book I've ever read.
She's a catch. He's a lucky, lucky man.
She's
I want to talk to her husband.
Yeah, me too.
That's who I want to talk to.
She has ideas like delete all of his shows off of his DVR. Now, why would you do that? What's the point of that?
Torture. Hello.
Oh, torture.
Name of the book is How to Torture.
That's true. Okay.
She's right, following her own pattern there, Bean. You just have to follow through with it.
I guess so. Mm. All right, that's coming up here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Right now, Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat on a Monday. What's going on?
It is a Monday. That means we take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office over the weekend. The big winner was Adam Sandler and Jennifer Aniston. Inexplicably, they're the big winners for the week. Yeah. Just Go With It debuted at $31 million this weekend.
Adam Sandler has had 11 number one movies. Isn't that crazy?
It is... He's got some formula.
He does.
Kevin's people and seem to come out in droves.
Yeah. I was taken to that one. I did not want to go, and it was worse than I thought. Except for Brooklyn Decker, who you get to look at the whole movie.
When you say you were taken...
I was kidnapped, yes.
Was it like
back in the van?
Yeah. Were you driving along a remote country road, and there's a bright, blinding light, and then you passed out, and you woke up in the theater?
Correct.
Unless someone drove by in a panel van and threw a black bag over my head, maybe with some sort of trank dart. There's no way I could ever be taken to see the Adam Sandler, Jennifer Aniston movie. It wouldn't happen.
Ralph, what if your wife came to you and said, I really want to go see it, and it's Valentine's Day weekend. Won't you please take me? You'd go.
I would not. I would say, remember, no strings attached. We've had this conversation. Now, get me, pull up moviephone.com and let's find a film we can agree on together. But no, you're not taking me to go see Adam Sandler and Jennifer Aniston and just go with
it. The difference between you and I is that I've taken her to way more bad movies than she has me. So I sort of don't have any choice every once in a while when she picks, because I take her to all kinds of crap.
The 102nd way to torture your husband in this new book is take him to go see Jennifer Aniston and Adam Sandler and just go for it.
Dave Matthews is in it. He's funny. He picks up a coconut with his butt cheeks. That happens.
No matter what we said about this film, it did make $31 million this weekend. So what do we know? Justin Bieber's Never Say Never documentary came in just behind Just Go With It with $30 million. It's the end of civilization as we know it, by the way, when the Adam Sandler, Jennifer Aniston movie and Justin Bieber are dominating the box office.
Yeah.
That's all you need to know.
Yeah. Hey, remember that at Oscar time, all right? You're mocking the Bieber movie. What was that?
I'm just trying to give Kevin some air here to play.
I don't know, but that was cool.
One of his
I am Chris Hansen with Dateline NBC.
There we go. That's what we were looking for.
That's what that is.
Timing.
Hi, mate.
Romeo and Juliet was third at the box office, $25.5 million. Then there was a big drop-off. The Eagle. No one wanted to see Channing Tatum as a Roman warrior looking for a golden eagle in the wilderness.
I didn't even wonder why.
I don't know why they would want to go see that.
I'll watch any action movie, too, but I didn't even understand that.
He has got to find his eagle, man.
Right, but how did he lose the eagle?
Because he was out there, and he lost it in battle, and that represents his family and Roman glory. He's got to get the eagle back.
But then he can't go back outside the walls.
He's got to recapture his family's honor.
Dumb.
The Roommate was fifth. The King's Speech, No Strings Attached, Sanctum 3D. True Grit and the Green Hornet rounding out the top 10 at the box office this weekend. Charlie Sheen is clean and sober now.
All right. That was quick.
For well over 2 weeks, he has been sober, according to his friends. And so much so, he's such an icon of sobriety. He is so much an example, I think, of how to get your life together, that he gave an anti-drug speech to the UCLA basketball team.
No way!
All right!
You. Would you give anything to have that?
That would be the greatest moment of my life if I had that video.
How did they book him for that?
I have no idea.
That's so great.
Apparently he was in good humor.
Really?
Talked to them last Thursday and told the kids on the basketball team, stay off crack and drink chocolate milk instead.
But he loves crack.
I guess he loves chocolate milk more.
Wow.
He also said, if your regular milk is just slightly sour and over the expiration date, you can add chocolate to it and get another couple days out of it.
That's Bean.
Oh, right. That's Bean who says that. Yeah.
That's bullshit.
Guys, I got somebody I want to talk to you about drugs.
Right.
It's been a little trouble recently, but he's really cleaned up his act. Ladies and gentlemen, Charlie Sheen, put your hands together.
That's great.
Mike, it seems a little early. You know the rehab process. It seems a little early to be out there evangelizing, right?
You're supposed to share the wealth. You're supposed to go out there and help other people. Mike, is that part of it?
Yeah, that is definitely part of it. But he is way, way too new to this whole thing to be out instructing people on how to stay sober.
You don't know how strong he is.
That isn't good for you.
Didn't you say like 2 weeks ago he was blowing $500,000 on drugs for parties?
The past 6 months, he's spent $500,000 on drugs. Yeah.
If I'm a 19, 20-year-old UCLA college basketball player, though, don't you get Charlie's contact information because of all the chicks he has access to?
Hook me up with your madam, Felony. That's his madam's name.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, you're kidding?
No. Her name is Felony.
All right.
That's her porn name.
Good.
And she came out this week saying that she's been hooking Charlie up with porn escorts for a long time, well into his marriage with this last woman he was married to.
Wow.
And he would hook him up with her girlfriends, mostly from the Barely Legal series. That seems to be his favorite.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
All right.
And they would get a passcode to give to the security guy at the gated community where Charlie lives, and he would try to make it fun for the girls. So the passcodes would be lick my lollipop. You got to go to security guard at the booth and go, lick my lollipop. Okay, yeah, Sheen's house is down there on the right.
I'm cute, though. Built good.
Yeah, that's what they added. My buddy Kevin Smith has done a very cool thing. Just announced, actually we announced it over the weekend, but we there's a press release today that Kevin, as you know, is kicking off the Red State USA tour, where he's taking the Red State film all across the United States.
He's going to personally project it for every person in the United States.
Yes.
Seems like a big job.
And he doesn't have a projector either. He's got a flashlight, and he's just going to run the film really fast past the flashlight and hope for the best. We're opening up the Radio City Music Hall in New York City on March the 5th. I will be in attendance, as will the rest of the cast, for a Q&A after the screening. But Kevin has announced that for all New York City policemen, tickets will be free. So if they want to come and bring their families, they can come to see the movie for free, which I think is very cool.
It is cool.
He said it as a, he's doing it as a tribute to the city's finest and how hard the NYPD works. And he also said, I can't think of a better way to say I'm sorry for cop-out than to give tickets to the New York Police Department. So I think he's got something on both sides.
How about that?
Did Katy Perry have breast implants on top of her magical breasts? Star Magazine is claiming yes. I don't buy it, not for a minute.
Yeah, I don't think she needed them, did she?
Apparently, they have a plastic surgeon who they interviewed and said it looks like the top part of her breast is too full now, which is a sure giveaway that someone has had implants. I don't buy it. I think she's just young and busty and beautiful, yeah. and gravity defying.
You are provocatively dressed all the time. Provocatively dressed. Boobs, you feel you have to show off.
She got asked about that story, Ralph, on the red carpet at the Grammys yesterday on the E! Coverage, and I have her remarks on it if you want to hear it.
Sure.
Well, a very, very heavy heavy debatation tonight. We had a very Darrison bite. Let's go to Terrace Tays for the bit, the head of the pit.
I don't know that that helps me understand her perspective on the story, but
there's no way that happened.
Terrence Damon would have to bet to skirt the pit. How is that even approaching anything she would want to say?
I don't know.
It's Klingon, really, more than it is English.
Wow. That happened.
Parents and Terrence the constant pet.
Kevin is so happy right now.
It just sounds.
I mean, that's a whole nother level for me, isn't it?
Yes. Oh, yes.
A whole nother level.
I can't think of anything you've ever done that is that bad.
Not even close.
You guys can always tell at least what I'm going for.
Yeah,
you have no idea what she's saying or going for. Anything
she's
else?
She's speaking in tongues. She's got the spirit in her. That's what happens. Jesus is speaking through her. She's an evangelist.
I don't think
she
so.
She can cure people by
I don't
laying
think
hands
any
on
of
them.
That is true.
You know,
she's
you're
going to
be sorry when she's fixing people's broken hips and stuff.
She's just a reporter.
She's an evangelist.
All right.
Today's celebrity birthdays, Florence Henderson and her machine is 77 yeah! years old today.
Different person.
What?
She's not 77, the Florence of the machine.
Well, how old is she?
I don't know.
Well, whose birthday is it then?
Florence Henderson.
Are you sure?
No.
All right.
Wait, the lady from Florence and the Machine was on the Brady Bunch? Is that what you're saying, Kevin?
Pat O'Brien is 63 years old. If you want to do some blow with me and have a three-way, just say yes when I come back in the room. I miss those phone calls. I think Pat was giving a speech to the UCLA basketball team, too.
Might as well have been.
Teller of Penton. Teller is 63 years old today. I had no idea Teller was that old. He looks pretty good for 63. He's a little one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He doesn't put out much energy.
He does not. That's why he looks so rejuvenated. Right. He doesn't really do much. Jules Asner is 43 years old today, and very funny, very talented Simon Pegg, who's got a new movie called Paul coming out soon. He is 41 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Upcoming this week on the Kevin and Bean Show, our friend Matt Money Smith will be in to talk about the NBA All-Star Weekend just ahead. Mark Hoppus from Blink-182. Mike, your boyfriend Antoine Dodson. Hide your kids, hide your wife.
Yeah.
He's going to be joining us again on the show coming up this week. Phil Kogan from The Amazing Race and Clipper Darrell talking about being Clipper Darrell. That's going to be tomorrow right here on the Kevin and Bean Show. It's Valentine's Day. Kevin, what you got for me?
I have a book called 101 Ways to Torture Your Husband, and it's written by Maria Garcia Kalb. Hello, Maria.
Hello.
How are you?
I am thrilled. It's Valentine's Day. It's Happy Torturing Day. How are you guys?
We are good.
Valentine's Day, by the way, which we haven't had a chance to mention, is one of those holidays that is allegedly for couples, but in reality, it's only for women because guys don't care about it and women insist on it. So there you go.
Well, what are you going to do? I mean, women have to fight for whatever we get, the little pieces that we get. So Valentine's Day is one of them, yes. And, my book is the perfect little gift because it's cheap, so men don't have to worry about dropping some big cash on diamonds.
But no man is going to buy this book, though. They don't want to give their lady ideas on how to be tortured.
Well, to tell you the truth, men love buying this book. You know why? Two reasons. Number one, keeps the woman happy. And number two, they get to see what's coming to them. See what I mean?
All right, Maria, Let's talk about the concept of 101 ways to torture your husband. First of all, who hurt you?
Wait, hurt me?
Yeah.
Yeah. Where's all this anger coming from?
It's called marriage.
Wait. It's called marriage. I've been doing this for 15 years. I've been serving a 15-year term. So if anyone knows about marriage, if you've even been married like 2 years, you already know it's pretty much torture.
Okay, good.
So it's not that anybody hurt me. I actually, believe it or not, and you know what? I get this all the time. People are like, well, that's a book for like divorce. I mean, why would I buy that book? And it's not. It's actually completely the opposite. It's a book for keeping your marriage fun, interesting, with a little bit of torture. That's
okay. Now, Kevin's got some things that he pulled out of your book. And Kevin, let's hear some of these, and then let the listener decide whether this sounds like fun and a way to keep a marriage together.
All right. Hide the remote.
Come on, that is like the nicest, sweetest, most fun thing you could do.
Pick a fight during the game.
Come on.
Tell him his dad is hot.
Oh, that's one of my favorites.
Sign him up for a dance class.
Okay, why is telling your husband or boyfriend that his dad is hot? What makes that fun?
Actually, some guys kind of get off on that guy, so you know.
Oh. Add laxative. Yeah, guys get off on that. Yeah, my dad's hot.
Some guys kind of think that's a little. No.
Add laxative to his dinner.
The laxatives work really fun, and the fun part is that you can just always blame the food. Like, oh my gosh, the chicken must have been bad. Wow.
Treat him to a massage with a male masseuse.
Hey, he'll get a good massage. In the end, he will still get a good massage.
Stand him up on date night.
Okay, let me ask you this, Maria.
Drink his last beer.
Okay, that's fighting words.
Did
right
you
there.
Write this book in second grade?
No, drink his last beer.
First grade.
Most fun things to do. No, I've been writing it literally since I got married.
Mess with his favorite ties. Come on.
Maria, how many of these things have you actually done to your husband? And if he is still with you, why?
We have a great relationship, believe it or not. And I am telling you, this will actually help relationships because it's like playing little jokes on your mate. I mean, keep it interesting.
No.
How long?
No.
You've been married for a long time. You need a little spice. You need a little fun. And ladies, trust me, if anything, you could use this book as fantasy. Get the little anger out of your system and laugh yourself silly. And I'm telling you, for $10, it's the best laugh you're going to get.
Okay, but if I go to my DVR today, because I was busy last night watching the Grammys and stuff, and I want to catch up on my Family Guy and my Cleveland show, and I see that they're gone because my wife thought it would be hilarious to delete them, that's not going to make for a fun day at my house. I'm telling you, that's trouble.
That would be upsetting for you, but she'll get a kick out of it. And
purposely ruin his laundry.
You blame the cable guy. I mean, it's
Maria.
Make sure his best suit never makes it to the cleaners.
Actually, you know what? One of my favorite ones is put them on a drastic diet. Men, you know, they love their naughty foods. They love all their junk and their cheeseburgers and their greasy stuff. And you suddenly decide, sweetheart, you know what? Because I love you and I want to take care of you and I want you to be around for a very long time, I think I'm going to put you on a good diet where you can, you know, trim some fat off, look really good because I know you're hot, but you could be hotter. And you put them on that drastic diet and, oh, my gosh, not only will you get a hot husband, but you'll have a fun time torturing him to death by giving him celery every night. And peanut butter.
No.
It works.
Listen, I'm going to give you some advice now. You need to mail your friends and family a letter to be opened upon your death or disappearance so that they know what happened to you. Because it's coming, Maria. I'm telling you, you're this close to Puppy Lake if any of the stuff you're telling us is true. Okay, you're going down.
Actually, you know what's hilarious? I'm getting death threats from Pakistan, from India, in Yemen. I'm enemy number one.
Okay.
You're
going to be getting death threats from America as soon as I get off the phone and start writing a strongly worded letter.
I'm telling you. You read the book. Dad, did you read the book?
I did, and it's the most... I'm not kidding, Maria. I'm not just trying to be mean. It's the most childish thing I've ever read.
It is not childish. It is so much fun, and women...
Forget his birthday.
Come on.
That's not childish.
More fun than that. See, you guys... You
sign
guys
him up for Oprah's book club.
You guys forget our birthday without even trying to forget our birthday. So
flirt with his friends.
I also want to know, who are these husbands that you're dedicating this book to? Like, what guy forgets his wife's birthday? Okay. And what guy is that fat that you can put him on a drastic diet and he's going to fall for it?
all of them, in fact, because you're telling them that because you love them, you want to do this. Let me tell you, this book is huge. Bachelorette parties, wedding showers, engagement parties.
Yeah, with angry women, of course.
Only
yeah.
if the engaged people are in second grade.
We're angry because you guys are just such a disaster. That's why we're angry. So this gets it out. We get a little, you know, we get that passive aggressiveness out. Nobody gets hurt, and divorce is a whole lot more expensive than a $10 book, don't you think?
You are going to be divorced, and it's going to be soon, and we're going to laugh. All right, 100 Ways to Torture Your Husband is the name of the book.
It's available now. Don't buy it,
though.
Maria Garcia Cal, thanks for coming on the Kevin and Bean Show. Happy Valentine's Day.
All right. You don't know.
Bye now.
Okay, bye.
Wow.
Wow.
I'm sorry, Mike, what?
I said she's fat.
Look, am I the most childish person all of you know?
Yes.
Seriously. This is dumb.
This is too dumb for you.
Wow.
We'll catch up with Harvey Levin from TMZ.com in minutes here on the Kevin and Bean Show. By the way, get a lot of complaints from our listeners that we did not use the murder button on our last guest, the lady who wrote that book. Oh,
she found herself so funny.
It hasn't recovered yet from using it on Bob Dylan last night after his Grammy appearance. So we didn't have the murder button at our facilities. All right. So this is a great story. I think we got some news audio on a controversy that has sprung out of Fort Wayne, Indiana, right?
Yeah, absolutely. This is these are my people right here. You know how I vote? I vote comedy.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
Well, they were dumb enough to put an online poll for what they should name a government building. And here's the news story from that.
A former Fort Wayne mayor is getting some national attention. Thousands of people voted online to name the new city-county building in his honor.
But that probably won't happen because of his name.
People voted, and the top pick so far with more than 10,000 votes is the Harry Balls Government Center.
Harry Balls apparently was a great mayor.
The overwhelming front runner was the Harry Balls Government Center.
Harry Balls was the mayor of Fort Wayne back in the 1930s and 40s. We have a street named after Harry Balls.
Some people think the Harry Balls Government Center would make Fort Wayne the butt of jokes.
Hey!
After all, the family did change the pronunciation of their last name from Balls to Bales. Jim thinks a Harry Balls Government Center could be great for the city of Fort Wayne.
Well, I think it would put us on the map, for one thing.
Sure.
I think a lot of people are going to snicker about it and laugh, but after it dies down, I don't see any problem.
The dude's name was spelled B-A-A-L-S, but he always said that it was Balls. His family has tried to change it to Bales because it's too embarrassing. But
so what do you do? Do you go with the name that has been voted by the citizens of Fort Wayne, or do you not because too many people will make fun
of
it?
Is this a democracy or not?
So we thought we'd find out what's going on. We have the spokesperson for tourism of Fort Wayne, Indiana, on the line with us now. It's Mr. Richard Hertz joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show.
How you doing, guys?
We're good. How are you?
You can just call me Dick.
Dick. All right.
I thought so. Okay. So, Dick Hertz, what about the Harry Balls controversy?
I think it's much ado about nothing, quite frankly.
Well, mm-hmm. It is.
I think it's juvenile and silly of people to get so upset about a man's name. He was a great mayor of Fort Wayne.
Sure.
And we're a very proud city. We are the 72nd largest city in the nation.
Wow, that is an accomplishment.
Second largest city in Indiana after Indianapolis. So we are a thriving metropolis, and I believe that it's not it's not a laughing matter. This is going to be an important government center, and we want it to have a proper name.
Okay, how did it end up out there, if you know, and maybe this is out of your area of expertise, but how are they allowing people to vote online? That's not usually how government buildings are named.
Well, we had a bit of a boondoggle when it came to the city council trying to come up with a name, so someone suggested we just throw it open to the citizens of Fort Wayne, allow them to speak their voice and to vote, and we had no idea that they would be so juvenile about naming the building. So we may have to take it back in the city council, and we're going to have to go through some of the other names we originally thought of and see if we can come up with a better name than the silly, goofy name that so many people here in Fort Wayne seem to think it's funny.
That
would be on a building. We don't agree.
It was overwhelming by like 10 or 20 to 1, the voting. I mean, really, the people have spoken.
Well, we just can't. We don't want Fort Wayne to be the butt of any jokes.
All right,
and so we're not going to be able, I think, to fulfill the wants of the people in this particular case, because if they're not going to take it seriously, then I don't think we can take their decision seriously.
Okay.
All right. So Harry Ball's probably not going to happen, even though he was a great 4-time mayor of Fort Wayne. But you do have some other candidates to be selected as the name on the building.
There's a lot of great historical figures who have been through Fort Wayne, Indiana, played a big role in the city's founding and also in its growth. And so we wanted to give those people a chance too. So we're looking over some of the names. There was a district attorney in the 1940s who was a big asset locally here in Fort Wayne named Hugh G. Rection. And so we're thinking maybe putting Hugh's name up there, because I think that'll be it would be quite the honor for him.
Okay.
Maybe the comptroller from the 1950s, who was important for the economic growth of Fort Wayne, Mr. I.P. Freely. Mm-hmm. I think he is also going to be considered.
Okay.
Our beloved police chief from the 1930s also, Michael Hunt. He also would be considered.
He doesn't go by Mike, does he?
Yeah, we used to call him Mike. Okay. We did back in the day.
All right.
There are many ladies, too. I think some people are suggesting maybe the ladies should be considered as one of the names to put in the building, because you don't see a lot of women named after public buildings. So Anita Dick, I think she is she's absolutely being considered.
Okay.
Craven Moorhead, she was a lovely lady and very important for the founding of this
her,
city.
Wait, her first name is Craven?
Craven. Ivana Tinkle.
Sure.
I think she is also being considered.
Uh-huh. Okay.
We've got some illustrious
Yeah, right there, Dick. Her first name was Craven. That's a strange first name.
Mr. Hertz,
you okay? Dick? Dick? Dick Hertz? Paging Dick Hertz?
What's wrong with Dick?
Yes?
Sorry. Yeah. And that cheese Danish this morning, I think it's coming back on me.
Oh, it sounds like you're laughing. That's weird.
We've got some famous immigrants also that helped found our country. We've got a Latin gentleman named Clint.
I'm sorry. What's his name?
Clint Torres.
Clint Torres.
Yes.
Okay.
Clint Torres, he was a great guy. We wanted to not keep it just a native Fort Wayne sons and daughters. We wanted to open it up. There was a Polish gentleman, Izzy Cumming.
Izzy, come on now.
Izzy was a great man back in the 1930s, also developing this. We had
a lot of bad names in the 30s.
He had a French-Canadian gentleman that was important to the trade here in Fort Wayne. Jacques Strap was his name, and he was quite a successful gentleman.
He might deserve a building, sure.
Of course, there's a lot of we've got a lot of Swedes also in this area as well.
In Fort Wayne, Indiana?
Oh, yeah, sure. We had a big Swedish contingency, so we want to give them consideration as well. Olaf, my friend.
What?
<I'm sorry.
laughs> All of what?
All of my friends are gay.
What?
How is that a name? That's not a name.
It's Swedish. I'm not familiar with the Swedish people, but Olaf, my friends are gay. He apparently will be considered.
That's a full sentence. That's not a name.
And I think our current mayor, Haywood, would be a great choice, too. He's a great guy, and he hasn't been the mayor that long, but I would like to see Haywood Jablomi up on the side of the building there at some point or another.
What about you? What about Dick Hertz?
I don't see anything funny about that at all.
Yeah.
Monday on the Kevin and Bean Show means we catch up with our friend Harvey Levin from TMZ.com and the TMZ TV show. Harvey, how was your weekend, my friend?
It was good, guys. How was yours?
Good, thank you. Yeah. I'm guessing your weekend, by the way, is way different than ours. I mean, it seems like you never get rest, right?
Yeah, no. This was a toughie.
Yeah, I mean, you probably get texts all day long.
Well, you know the funny. You know what? I'm probably not supposed to talk about it, but what the hell? I'm going to tell you guys.
Okay.
So I think we're announcing it today. So we're starting the TMZ Hollywood bus tour.
TMZ Hollywood bus tour.
Yeah. This is my pet project. It's going to be so much fun. So I needed to go. I've been working on this thing for about a couple of months, but I wanted to see one of the tours. So I went on a Starline tour yesterday.
Yeah.
And it was just funny being there and listening to this stuff. And it's like, oh, this is where they do People's Court. And I wanted to say, no, they don't.
Yeah.
Really?
You would know. You're on People's Court. Yeah. Anyone that's ever taken that tour knows that it's all pretty much BS.
Oh.
And
it's
this was a good tour.
It was, okay.
It was a good tour. It was really good.
Now, are you going to be the host, Harvey? Because that's the only way I would take your tour.
I'm going to drive the bus.
All right.
Now, so is your deal going to be, hey, here's where so-and-so got arrested, or here's where so-and-so fell down? I mean, what kind of stuff is going to be on your tour?
You know what? I probably shouldn't have even said anything right now, but let's talk about it later.
All right.
Okay. Okay. I want to hear more about it, yeah.
Okay.
Now, is one of the other reasons you were busy is just trying to keep up with the flurry of new information coming in about Lindsay Lohan and her defense and what's likely to happen?
It was a heavy work weekend.
Yeah.
So you want to know?
Yeah. Yeah, okay. Absolutely.
So the big thing with her, and this is really interesting, you know, did you see this bracelet, guys?
Yes.
What did you think of that bracelet?
I didn't see it.
I wouldn't buy it.
What do you think it's worth?
Oh, I have no idea. I mean, it's impossible to tell with jewelry. I mean, you know, something can be $20, it could be $20,000. You can't really tell looking at a photo sometimes.
So here's the thing. So we know what the weight and basically, you know, how much the diamonds and everything else. So we contacted some jewelers in town.
Right.
And the store was selling it for $2,500. So they arrested her for felony grand theft, because if it's over $950, that's automatically grand theft.
Ah.
And that could, and that's where it can be a felony. If
right.
it's less, it has to be a misdemeanor. And there's a huge difference. So we started calling these jewelry stores. And they're saying, no way. And they're saying $800, $900. One said maybe $1,000, but it's going to become a big issue in the case. So her lawyer, Sean, she's now gotten rid of the word Chapman, so it's now Sean Hawley. She is saying baloney that this is grand theft. She said, just because you know, if you have a $5 bag of coal and you say it's $2,500, that doesn't make it $2,500. It's still $5. So she's going to challenge this and say, basically, Lindsay was, she didn't steal it, but even if you think she did, it was cheap ass jewelry.
That's interesting. That's interesting from a law perspective, because is the value of it what the jewelry store has invested in, how much they paid for it to bring it to the floor, or is the value in it what they lose by it not being available to sell at their retail markup?
The law says it's fair market value. So what you have to look at is, what is the fair market value of this item, which they say is unique. If it's a television set and it's kind of like, you know, fair trade where everybody charges the same thing,
right,
that's easy, because what they charge is usually what they're going to get, and that's easy. But if it's something really unique, you have to look at what it's going to, you know, I'll give you an example. If you list a house and you have a ridiculous price on the house, just because you list it doesn't make it so. It's
that's
what
right.
it really would go for. It's the market value of the item.
Ah. Now, one of the things I saw that you posted on TMZ over the weekend made it sound like Lindsay's attorney is working furiously to try to get some sort of a deal, but that the district attorney is not even accepting any ideas for deals that don't involve some jail time. Is that where we're at right now?
Yeah, I mean, look, the DA has already said, you know, even before this case, that she wanted jail time, you know, with the probation violation. But absolutely, I mean, the DA is, you know, they're not treating this like, oh, it's just another time we're going to let Lindsay skate. But ultimately, I think they're going to have to. Here's what Lindsay has going for her in that sense. In a way, they don't need the DA. And I'll tell you what I mean. When there's a single charge against somebody, like in this case, if there are multiple charges, that's when the DA horse trades and says, we'll drop this one if you plead guilty to this one.
Right.
But here, there's only one charge. So what Lindsay's lawyer could do is go into court and enter a plea of guilty, knowing, after, you know, having prior discussions with the judge, that the judge would be lenient on the sentence. So even if the prosecutor objects, when there's a single charge, the Lindsay's lawyer could go in and almost go around the DA, plead to that one charge, if the lawyer knows that the judge, say, would give her probation. Now, I don't know that the judge is going to go for it, but it's a possibility.
It's legal for her lawyer to just go to the judge and say, if we plead guilty, will you... That's legal?
Well, I mean, they could... Sometimes the judge will not give any kind of indication, but if the judge, if Sean Hawley feels like the judge is more receptive from all the discussions they're having, and
right.
they are going to have these plea bargain discussions, she could, you know, there is a little bit of rolling of the dice, and sometimes the judge would make it clear, but it does happen where it's called an open plea, where they plead, and it's up to the judge to decide what kind of sentence.
If she pleads guilty, then is that not a problem with her parole? Has that already been...
I think she's screwed in the parole no matter what. I mean, if she pleads, I think she's going to jail on the probation. I don't see how she's going to get around that.
Right.
But right now, the big thing that she has hanging over her head is a felony and
yeah.
prison. So, I mean, I think they've got to deal with that. Now, they could go to trial, remember. They could go to trial on this jewelry thing. And they could, you know, if they win, then the probation case, she might skate on it.
Goes away, too.
Yeah.
I'd like to see you be Lindsay's attorney, Harvey. You haven't been lawyering up much lately, dude.
No, I have not been lawyering up. Well, I do people's court. I'm excellent on dog poop cases.
That's right, exactly. All right, I wish we had more time. There's a lot of great stuff up on the site, including the latest with Charlie Sheen, why he can't be fired no matter what he does. It's fascinating. Check it out. TMZ.
And the porn star is pregnant, guys.
The porn star is pregnant.
Oh, no.
I know, right?
Wait, with his baby?
Well, she says probably
she
not.
Doesn't know. Like, she knows whose baby it is, Kevin. Come
probably
on.
Not.
Go to TMZ.com. Check your local listings for TMZ Television. Harvey, thanks for coming on the Kevin and Bean Show.
We'll see you guys.
Time for the Showbiz Beat on the Kevin and Bean Show. Here's Esperanza Spalding.
I'm just saying, we're all laughing at the clip.
Right.
And then Bean says, well, it's most likely she had a stroke. And we're like, yeah, no, she's just, you know, no, 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 she went to the hospital. That's like, well, then why are we playing that clip? Should we have known that before we started making fun of her?
I didn't know that.
I didn't know it either.
Well,
Bean went full tilt against it.
First of all, it's still funny if she had a stroke.
No, it isn't.
It is. But second of all, we don't know if she had a stroke. All we know is she had an on-air meltdown.
She was hospitalized.
So they took her to the hospital to see if she had a stroke, because oftentimes losing the ability to form words is one of the symptoms of having a stroke. We still don't know whether she had a stroke or not.
But you yourself said it's most likely she had a stroke.
I'm saying that's one possibility.
You absolutely said it's most likely she had a stroke.
All right, let's see if it sounds like she had a stroke.
Well, a very, very heavy divertation tonight. We had a very Darrison bite. Let's go ahead, Terrison, look for the bit, head of the pit.
That sounds like Kevin every Monday. How do
no,
I know that's a stroke?
It sounds like a woman in medical emergency now, which is not as funny.
It's not as funny.
Still, it's funny, though.
No. Not if she had a stroke.
It's like a video of a guy standing on the sideline and he falls down. Oh, that's funny. No, his femur was shattered.
Right. It's still funny.
Oh, that's still funny. I like that.
No.
Well, and you knew it. You knew she was in the hospital before you even started playing it.
I talked to her on the phone before the show started.
Did you take for granted that we knew that?
I like to stay current. Well, I mentioned on the air that she might have had a stroke. I mentioned that from the very first time
you
we played it this morning.
Jokingly, though. What did she do?
I wasn't joking. I wasn't joking. I was saying maybe she had a stroke.
Oh.
Poor woman's in the hospital now. Now I can't even enjoy it.
That's not funny.
I can still enjoy it.
Well, that's you. You didn't have a good night last night either, Bean, by the way.
What do you mean?
Oh, what did you mean? Did you watch the Grammys last night?
Sure.
Were you upset that Justin Bieber wasn't named the Best New Artist? Didn't get the Grammy for Best New Artist?
I didn't expect him to win. I did not expect him to lose to Esperanza Spalding, that's for sure.
You were upset.
I wasn't upset. I didn't think he was going to win. I don't think he should have won.
According to your wife, you were upset.
What?
Bean's wife sent me a little tape, a little tape she made of Bean watching the Grammys. I was like, a little videotape. Here's the clip that she sent along, and I think Bean's a little more, he was a little more upset last night than he was leaving on.
Why are you crying?
My teenager lost.
Who lost?
Justin Bieber.
Why are you crying?
My teenager lost.
Who's your teenager?
Justin.
You think Justin should have won?
I'm just saying, Bean was a little more upset than he let on. That's
I didn't realize she was taping. I'm sorry. That's embarrassing that came out.
Now, it was a stroke.
I had a stroke. It was a stroke.
It is Monday. Let's take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. Just go with it.
Nope.
Adam Sandler and Jennifer Aniston star in that film made $31 million over the weekend.
It's not.
It is, sadly. Speaking of Justin Bieber, my teenager lost.
My teenager? That's the weirdest thing to refer to someone
Chris
as.
Never Say Never, the documentary about his meteoric rise to superstardom after overcoming poverty, and he had polio, I think, when he was a kid, and he had a stroke, too. He had a stroke.
No, just a middle-class kid from Canada.
Oh, and then just...
He knows a lot about him.
And just became a star. $30.3 million.
I want to meet you and fool around.
Oh! Little girls everywhere went, along with Bean and Dave. Can you imagine what that theater looked like? Just giant... Just all curvy spined behemoth of a DJ sitting there with the King of Mexico next to him, just looking. Oh, that would have been
we were a little bit out of place. I was glad to be wearing the 3D glasses, so hopefully no one would recognize me.
Laugh out loud.
Thank you, Kevin.
I'm just thinking there must have been people in there with those night vision goggles, not looking for piracy, but keeping an eye on Bean, make sure he wasn't trying to touch anybody in the dark.
I am Chris Hansen with Dateline NBC.
Yeah, I'm sure he came in
at one point. Romeo and Juliet was third at the box office, then The Eagle and The Roommate rounding out the top five. The King's Speech, No Strings Attached, Sanctum, True Grit, and The Green Hornet rounding out your top ten at the box office this weekend. A lot of people emailing fast and furiously that Charlie Sheen was talking to the UCLA baseball team, not basketball team.
Oh, it makes a difference.
And it wasn't set up by the school. He just happened to be at the field where they were practicing.
You? Doing what?
Hanging out with some other ball players. And he saw them practice, and he walked over, and he was talking to them about their season, and he gave them that advice that they shouldn't do crack, and they should drink chocolate
but
milk.
But he laughed after that. I mean, there's no way he tried to say that.
No, obviously. Okay. Obviously, he was trying to be cute and clever.
Right.
So there you go. There's your correction, people from UCLA who are all up in arms.
We were mad at UCLA. We just thought it was funny that he would do that.
And the Spider-Man musical has been hit with two safety violations from the New York State Department of Labor.
Come on.
The citations are from accidents that happened last year, including actor Christopher Tierney, who fell more than 20 feet into the pit.
This is rough going, this show.
And two other performers who were hurt during rehearsals. The citations, by the way, don't include fines. So there, we'll teach you.
It's a fix-it ticket?
Pretty much. But everything's good now with the Spider-Man Turn Off the Dark musical. Oh, wait a minute, this just in. Thursday night, an actor was found once again dangling midair for several minutes during the show when a safety mechanism designed to keep people from plunging to their death got engaged. And he was just hanging in the air over the audience.
That isn't good for you.
For time until they could get him down. So, and speaking of the Grammys last night, did you catch the new ad with Sofia Vergara for Diet Pepsi?
No, I didn't.
Yeah, she has just been signed by Pepsi to star in a series of print and TV ads for their new soda, Diet Pepsi Slim. Is that even less calories than Diet Pepsi? Pepsi Slim? Does it absorb calories out of your body when you're drinking?
You lose calories.
One of the first ads was seen last night at the Grammy Awards. This is the first time she's appeared in the Pepsi ad, by the way. She was a spokesperson for Pepsi. When she was 17 years old, she did a commercial in a bikini for for the delicious soft drink.
I can't control my horny level.
I can't either, quite frankly, when I think about her in a bikini at 17. I know at 38 she looks pretty good. Today's celebrity birthdays, Florence Henderson is 77 years old today. Pat O'Brien, formerly of The Insider and now currently doing sports radio here in Los Angeles, he is 63. Teller of Penn & Teller is 63. Jules Asner, former E! Correspondent and wife of director Steven Soderbergh, she's 43. Simon Pegg, funny actor, he is 41 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Speaking of the muse at the Grammys, by the way, Matt Bellamy, when he was accepting his award, calling out his very pregnant girlfriend. I did not see Kate Hudson in the crowd, but apparently she was there with him. But yeah, they were terrific on stage. And how about Arcade Fire on stage? How about that performance?
They were great.
How about Eminem and his performance?
He was great with Dre. He was great, too.
This may be the first Grammy Awards, Kevin, that you actually watched and enjoyed because of how many excellent performances there were last
night. It's been a long time. They really were so boring for so long, and they gave away. Yeah. It seemed like they gave away way fewer, you know, Grammys and actually had a lot more live performances, and some of them were pretty good.
Well, here's a quick recap in case you have not heard some of the
big
winners.
Everything but Bob Dylan.
Some of the big winners, some of the big names, and some of the big categories. Here's a quick recap, and then we'll hear some highlights. Here's what you missed at last night's Grammys.
Well, a very, very heavy debatation tonight. We had a very Darrison bite. Let's go hit Tarrison for the bit, the head of the pit.
So that's from LA's Channel 2. That's the recap of what happened on the Grammys. And if you don't speak Klingon, apparently Lady Antebellum won the most. They won 5. Eminem, by the way, who should have won Album of the Year, I think, and didn't.
I agree.
Only won 2 of the 10 that he was nominated for, including Best Rap Album. And he looked so... would it kill the guy to smile once in a while? Would it kill him just to be happy once?
I don't know. The camera came on him and he was like... It was almost like it was a comedy mad face.
Yeah, I know. You know? And he's sitting there in the audience when his category, his Best Rap Album category was out. And I thought he was furious about something, or he had something he really wanted to get off on his chest. And when he went up to the microphone, I'm like, here it comes, man, bolt in. And it was just your standard, hey, thanks to everybody and blah, 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 blah. Yeah. It didn't seem like he was particularly mad about anything. He just had that look on his face. So Arcade Fire was the big winner. That was a shocker, too, for Album of the Year. Here's the announcement of that from Barbra Streisand, who couldn't have been more shocked because, frankly, I don't think she knows who Arcade Fire is. I think she thought the name of the band was the name of the album, The Suburbs.
And the Grammy goes to The Suburbs.
You know what was going on in her head? She said The Suburbs, and she thought, well, that's not right. Oh, Arcade Fire, right. That's who I'm supposed to be reading, right.
They Does she got, look like an old, ugly Lady Gaga to you?
Oh,
I thought she looked pretty good
she
for her
like
age.
She looked like an old Lady Gaga.
And I thought she sounded real good, too, singing. I don't know what
she
you thought.
She sang fine, and I don't care about her music, but she looked like an old Lady Gaga.
Here's Arcade Fire, who, after they thank their fans in French and English, come up with an interesting idea, and I'm dying to figure out how this happened.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I just want to say thank you, merci, to Montreal, Quebec, for taking us and giving us a home, place to be in a band.
Merci, Montréal. Merci à tout le monde au Québec.
Thank you. We're going to go play another song, because we like music, so... Thank you, the Grammys. Thank you, everyone. We're so happy.
Now, what happened? Arcade Fire performed with about 10 minutes left in the show. They did Month of May, which was great. Then they gave out the Album of the Year, and they won. And it sounds like they're on the spot going, well, since we're here and our gear's still set up, let's go play another song. But there's no way that was planned, right?
Well, I don't know. They usually have a big part of what the Grammy does is they have a big opening number and they have a big closing number. It's, a lot of times it's a surprise or whatever, but they always plan it.
Mm-hmm. What so would have happened had they not won Album of the Year? Had it gone to Eminem or something? What would have happened in the last 5 minutes of the show?
Maybe they said, we're running early, you can play another song, which never happens. Maybe they had a deal with all five that whoever wins plays.
But they're the only ones whose gear was set up. Yeah, it doesn't make any sense at all.
I don't know. I don't know.
It was crazy. I don't know. I mean, if Eminem had won, Arcade Fire wasn't then going to go. Now they're deflated because they lost the big award. They're not going to go up there and play again. I don't know.
That's weird.
It was crazy. There were some very entertaining presenters and introductions on the show. A couple of really funny ones. I thought Seth Rogen was great. He's the one who actually brought Eminem and Dr. Dre on stage, and Rihanna, too. And here's what he had to say.
Hello. This is my first time at the Grammys. I'm having a spectacular time so far. I've seen things I've never seen before. I've heard things I've never heard before, and that wasn't even watching the show. That was just backstage getting high with Miley Cyrus,
who by the way was there. I don't get this. This is they didn't do very much of this last night on the show, but this is one of the things I hate about all award shows is they take people and put them together and they don't make any sense in combinations that have no business being on the stage presenting Grammys.
But,
and this was one of those.
At least they read a script that's usually pretty poorly written.
Tell me how this happened. How somebody decided, yes, let's put this on.
Representing the stars of Glee and the Super Bowl champion Green Bay Packers, Lea Michele and Clay Matthews.
Yeah, I don't know.
Right?
I don't know.
So, Clay, how does it feel to be a Super Bowl champion?
Incredible, Leah. We feel like we're all living the dream.
Well, we know about that on our show. So does this next group, who are having a true dream year.
I think she had a stroke. I think Lea Michele had a stroke, too.
Stop it.
David Letterman was on the show last night. The Grammys were on CBS. And here's just a couple of his top 10 list that he did in the middle of the show. This was the top 10 surprises at the 2011 Grammys. I thought this was very funny.
Lindsay Lohan seen leaving Staples Center with Grammy-shaped bulge in jacket. Number 8, Willie Nelson provided the Grammy show snacks. Snacks. Number 6, the new category, best male or female traditional, R&B urban alternative, non-classical Latin pop performance by a duo or group with vocals.
By the way, that sounds like a joke. There are 108 categories in the Grammys, okay?
Wow.
So he's not far off.
Number 5, in a touching ceremony, Will.i.am added a comma. Number 2, John Mayer caught in passionate embrace with Susan Boyle, and the number 1 surprise at the 2011 Grammy Awards, Justin Bieber, hairpiece.
And then one more, and I say this for last because this was maybe my favorite moment. There were a bunch of presenters who came out and did the dick move. You know how I hate it when people wear sunglasses in public, especially indoors. Lenny Kravitz came out and he did it. I'm sure you give him a pass because he's cool. Donnie Wahlberg came out and did it. He doesn't deserve to wear sunglasses inside because he's on New Kids on the Block.
His were the blackest sunglasses I've ever seen, too. Like,
yeah.
Most of them you can kind of see through.
Yeah.
He had a complete blackout pair.
Yeah, they were Stevie Wonder sunglasses.
Yeah.
But the guy who needed sunglasses and for some reason was not wearing them was so unbelievably, allegedly stoned. Diddy came out.
Yeah, I've never seen it like that.
Tried to do an introduction, and you'll get a sense. It's not as good as watching him and seeing how much he struggled with this introduction, but you'll get a sense just from listening how stoned he appeared to be.
She's one of the most consistent artists in music, and he's one of the most talented rappers in the game. Performing that smash hit.
He's having trouble.
And also a Grammy winner tonight. Performing live, What's My Name, Rihanna, and Drake. Yeah.
He's just barely hanging on, isn't he? Trying to get
Are you
out.
Not entertained?
Yeah.
Are you not entertained?
Congratulations, though, to Arcade Fire. Once again, the big winner, Album of the Year. Certainly, you earned it. That's a great record. I hope a lot of people go out and buy that who haven't heard that previously. So that's your Grammy highlights. Ralph's got all the other showbiz news right after this on The Kevin Devine Show.
Funnier if they offer up the first name.
Lisa, anything you want to tell us?
Stroke.
Was it a stroke?
It was a stroke, yeah.
Way funnier if they offer up the first name.
Still funny. That's all I'm saying. Ralph is here with our final look at the Showbiz Beat on a Monday Kevin Devine Show. What's going on?
Well, it's Monday. That means we take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. Congratulations to Adam Sandler and Jennifer Aniston. They have the number one movie in America.
Nope.
Just go with it.
Thanks, Kevin. Nice job.
$31 million it made this weekend.
Wasn't good.
Look, I guess if you're the only new romantic comedy on Valentine's Day weekend, you're just going to clean up
no
matter how good it is, right? Justin Bieber, Never Say Never, was second at the box office with over $30 million. Romeo and Juliet came in at number three with $25.5 million.
Nope.
Then we had the Roman soldier looking for the eagle. Yes, Channing Tatum was out there looking for his eagle. That was number four at the box office this weekend.
That's the top four?
That's the four.
All right.
The roommate.
That's the big four.
Minka Kelly.
Oh, yes. My God.
All right.
Came in at number five. Then the King's Speech, No Strings Attached, Sanctum, True Grit, and the Green Hornet rounding up the top ten at the box office this weekend. 78-year-old Oscar-winning movie star actress legend Elizabeth Taylor was admitted to Cedars-Sinai Medical Center in Los Angeles last week. Apparently, she has some symptoms that are pretty severe, caused by what the doctors are calling an ongoing condition of congestive heart failure. Doctors say she'll be monitored for the condition, but she still is hospitalized, and they're not saying what's going to happen with her yet, but obviously we wish her well.
I have her statement from the hospital.
No, you don't.
I do. Does anyone want to hear it?
Nope.
Nope.
I got a question regarding Elizabeth Taylor.
Yes,
she may be the only person I can think of that right now deserves the ugly gong, without a doubt.
The ugly gong.
The gong we play.
Yeah,
for
no
ugly.
Question.
But in
She's
her
the
life,
only person who deserves an ugly
gong? No. But in her life, definitely deserves the pretty bell more than practically anyone.
She was one of the most beautiful women in the world.
Yeah. But now
all of us were born.
Like, do we have a sound effect for someone who now gets the gong?
The biggest fall from grace? Is that what you mean? We need like a falling gong, like a bell
like
that turns
like
into a gong.
Yeah.
We'll work on that.
Seems like a team of audio experts would have to work long hours to make that for you, Psycho Mike.
And Omar can whip up a bell that looks like that falls into a gong.
Yeah.
You can get that going for us.
I don't know how often that we need that.
We'd put that under glass with a little hammer next to it. And in case of an emergency, we can just break it and then pull it out.
Because most people are either born gong or born bell. You roll.
I think we all understand. In Mike's defense, though, we could have used it Friday when we were talking about Tina Louise, probably. I mean, there are occasions that come up where you go because you get old. Most hot women should die at like 45.
Wow.
And that way they don't have to get into the part like now where now we have to debate it.
You're on fire.
But that would be the case for any young, attractive woman in show business who dares to get old, Psycho Mike. That's what you would use that bell for.
No, you would
blame the woman simply for living. For living a number of years in which it no longer becomes attractive
to
you.
That's not true, and I don't feel
she
like...
She should
like
be mocked with a slide whistle bell.
That's like real talk right there, man.
A lot of beautiful women grow old and stay very beautiful, and sometimes can even grow old and become more beautiful.
But not
Elizabeth Taylor is now a monster and was the most beautiful.
Not in comparison to their prime days. It just doesn't happen that way.
I'm saying
that's the cruel reality of aging.
She's aggressively old and ugly, and a monster, and was the
but
most
not of her choosing. She didn't put her face into a large turbine engine
She's
in order
monster,
to try to get as ugly as possible. It wasn't as if she had many choices here.
All right,
what I'm saying.
Team of beauty experts, I need you to turn me.
I want to look now. I've been the most beautiful woman. Now can you make me as hideous as possible? That's my choice. I'm actively pursuing ugliness.
To Mike, anyone over 30 is automatically the elephant man.
I'm just saying, you can't punish the woman just for living 78 years. That's all she did. That's all she did. She's trying her best still not to be ugly, but she's failing. But you would like to punish her somehow for that.
I don't want her punished.
Apparently you do.
I just want her well represented.
All right. I still think we should do our phone and copy of call in, phone in topic of MILFs, of hot older women. Women that are older, maybe beyond their glory days, but you still are sexually attracted to them. I think that
because we'll get like some will go, what?
I think there would be some interesting choices because people have unique tastes, and there would be some people saying, you know, things that would make us
ground
surprised.
Rules. Ground rules.
Bean can't respond.
Bean cannot respond to this question
at any level.
But Betty, why does
he not respond to this question in any way?
Right. Let's do it tomorrow. That's a great idea because,
if you agree to the ground rules.
Yes.
Well, I mean, I'm not going to sit this one
you
out.
Can't
I'm
going to
participate and have a conversation.
No, but you can be the host. You can let other people talk.
Yes.
You can introduce them and ask them who they want
and say
all
things
that.
Like,
Yeah.
And that's interesting.
Right.
You can say those things, but that's it.
We want to limit your responses.
But I have needs.
Oh. See? It turns into that.
Chris Hansen shows up, and then it just gets bad. Aaron Carter's out of rehab. He is sober, on the wagon, says he's returning home to Florida to create some more new music. Well, we all can't wait.
All right.
We're looking forward to that. I preferred you kept drinking, Aaron Carter, quite frankly. Speaking of people we haven't heard from in a while, remember Justin Guarini?
Yes, he's in one of American Idol.
He was the runner-up on American Idol the first season when Kelly Clarkson won the honors. He is now a big Broadway star. Just announced he will be starring in American Idiot, the Green Day musical. He starts March 1st starring in that show. So I guess after you've been on the biggest TV show in the world, you can make a buck doing something someplace.
Sure. Right? And I didn't watch his season, but that Constantine apparently is a huge hit on Broadway. And that, what's that show about the 80s rockers?
Spider-Man?
No, the one about the 80s rockers.
Mamma Mia?
You're not even trying.
Les Mis?
You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, Cats. Les Mis.
Our Town?
Lisa, what's that one called?
Cats?
That Rock of Ages. Rock of Ages. Oh. He's a huge, huge hit on Broadway in that as well.
Oh. I love this room. You don't get any help.
Oklahoma?
You get just the opposite of help. You can't remember something.
Seabirds? Is it Seabirds?
Equus?
Yes, Equus.
Yes, that's it.
Speaking of American Idol runner-ups, Catherine McPhee in the news.
Oh.
Ooh.
She's making a new pilot television program for NBC. Being
developed she doesn't get old.
Produced by Steven Spielberg. It is NBC's answer to Glee. It's called Smash.
What?
And Smash is about a team of songwriters who are developing a musical based on the life of Marilyn Monroe. And it'll be about casting it and rehearsing it, and Catherine McPhee apparently playing a beautiful, struggling actress who will go to any lengths to get the role of Marilyn in the musical.
Any lengths?
Wink, wink, if you know what I mean.
All right.
Apparently, she is not beyond using her sexual favors to try to land the role from producers.
I have tape of Catherine McPhee being interviewed about
No, you do not.
You don't have that? We don't want it.
And you do not. As I mentioned, that is NBC's answer to Fox smash hit Glee, which Justin Timberlake announced this week he will never let them use any of his music.
Really?
To Glee?
To Glee.
Wow.
I would think that would go hand in hand, Justin and Glee.
Yeah.
He said he's turned down producers and will not allow his music to be used in any upcoming episodes.
So it's okay for the Beatles and U2 and the Rolling Stones and bands like that, not for Justin Timberlake.
No, he's bringing sexy back.
That's okay. True.
Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthday, shall we?
Please.
Before Bean plays that clip again. Simon Pegg, very talented, funny, funny British actor. He is 41 years old today. He has the new movie Paul coming out with the alien.
Yep.
Looks funny. Jules Asner is 43 years old today. Teller of Penn and Teller is 63. Pat O'Brien also celebrates his 63rd birthday today. And Florence Henderson is 77. She, of course, was Mrs. Brady for all those many years. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Tomorrow morning, an all-new Kevin and Bean show. If you are Catholic and you miss confession, there's an app for that.
What?
What?
You can confess to your phone now.
Oh, that would be so much easier than Apparently. Those creepy priests used to touch me when I said things.
We have Clipper Darrell on tomorrow's show. He, of course, is the biggest Clipper fan in the world, and that's not going well. We have Clay Butler, who's a guy who is making cannabis coke. So it's
cannabis and coke in the same drug?
It's coke and drugs in one.
It's the perfect drug. You get mellow and then you get it high and you get amped.
I'm sorry, cannabis cola is what I meant.
Boom, boom, boom.
Yeah. MILFs that you think are hot and maybe you're alone in. That might be the angle of no one else shares
your... friends would be shocked if they knew that.
Shares your passion.
Fill in the blank.
Speaking of your friends would be shocked if they told you, Bean and Dave the King of Mexico went to see the Bieber movie. And we have to find out what...
Hells yeah.
What happened with that. Tomorrow. So that happened over the
weekend.
That happened over the weekend. And I tried to pay Dave double what it cost for the tickets to get him to stand Bean up, and he wouldn't do it.
Because he's like me. He likes to be that look at me guy. Oh, look at what I'm going
to
do.
I went to the Bieber movie.
And I'm
going
to be able to talk about everybody's going to look at me, and they're going to ask me questions. Oh, I someone for 5 minutes.
So, it's not look at me. It's I thought it would be a good movie, and it was, and we had a nice time. But I will tell
overruled.
You,
overruled.
I got to the theater first, and every minute that I was there before Dave arrived, I was convinced that I was being set up, that the whole thing was a setup, that he wasn't going to show, because he's texting me like, yeah, I'm on the way. I'll be there in 10 minutes. And then, I'm parking now, and I just imagine he was sitting somewhere in a bar with you just laughing, knowing that I was waiting
really,
for him.
Really tried to make that happen.
What a missed opportunity that would have been.
He wouldn't do it. He's lame. Yeah.
That's because we boys.
That's all tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean show.